Good day, and welcome to episode 263 of Mies on Minis, or episode 2 of The Road to Age of Sigmar.
What?
Did you not say Road to Sigmar? You said Road to Sigmar?
No, Age. I said Sigmar. It was okay. A little bit of a muddled consonant, but okay. I said there Sigmar. Was. This is Keith, and I am currently playing Sigmar.
Whatever.
This is Chad, and I play Trolls.
This is Lance, I play Kador.
This is John, and I'm playing Convergence of Cirrus in Mark III.
This is nice battle box, buddy. this is Crump, and I most recently play Trolls.
Whoa. Nigel, and I'll play Trolls or Kador. I don't know. Whichever's
you
most broken.
Know. It's going to be Kador.
Yeah, a lot of Trolls and Kador around this table.
But as soon as you can dust off the Mana Wars and not feel like an idiot, you're 100% in. I already know how you work.
Also, Behemoth now, FAU.
If Privateer Press needs to fire whoever's marketing their game right now and then hire me, because I think if you were going to announce Mark III, the first thing you should talk about is Man of Wars, right? Wouldn't that be the first thing? Like,
no? When you're looking at every faction or just in general?
Nigel is salty the Man of War card didn't get spoiled.
Well, just think, like, if what's the one thing everybody hates about Mark II? Man of Wars.
That's it. That's the thing.
The one thing. I don't. You know.
Look, it was the give them a thought. Probably.
It was the 700-pound bear in the room. None of us wanted to say it.
Okay. We didn't.
Well, let's go to 700-pound.
I'm actually glad you said that because it was kind of like, you know, having a sore in your mouth or something. You don't know exactly where it's at or something was bothering me about Mark II. Thank God for Nigel, because now I know it is Man of Wars.
It was the Man of Wars.
You were just tonguing it like a cake or
something. If we were to have a contest and go to the forums right now and go to each faction page, each faction, you know, forum thread, and count the number of how do we fix X, I guarantee Man of Wars, it's like 2 million.
Like all of
like
them?
Like 7.
I think the Skinner might be.
No, the Mountain King is by far the...
Mountain King is the winner.
Yeah.
No.
And as it turns out...
Man of War is probably the winner.
Mm-hmm. Keith had a segue, so don't blow up a segue, you son of a...
All right.
Wow. Nigel's editing this week.
Did we go explicit? I didn't know.
Yep. Oh, no, we have Lance back.
Oh, hi, everybody.
Yeah.
I'm still alive.
I'm not dead yet.
And I hope I remember how to podcast.
Well, if Lance is editing, we...
Oh, God.
You son of a butt. Right. So chop that and put it over my... Yeah, there you go. So now you got something to put in.
Because that's so easy to do.
Well, anyways. Segway.
If I'm not doing it, it's super easy.
So speaking of how to fix the Mountain King, big news this week was an insider from Mr. Will Schick posted 4 of the cards from Age of Sigmar. The new edition. Gonna make it stick.
Yeah, it was much clearer this time. Thank you.
You're working on it really hard.
He is.
I saw you posting a few times on the forums too.
Oh no, we need to make an Age of Sigmar shirt. 100%.
Try to replicate the box front or
just
something.
Try to push as far as we can go.
I thought we should make a
with copyright infringement.
I thought we should
see how far.
See who squishes us first: Privateer Press or
Disney
Games Workshop.
Games Workshop.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
GW's got a really, really progressive sort of...
I thought we should have made a shirt that says, Mark III, thanks, Obovnik.
That I
can't. Oh. Good one.
So Keith was correct, though. Will Schick posted cards, and it wasn't just like previews or whatever. It was full on, like we got the whole card, like the front and back, 4 cards. We got total spoilers. We just don't know what a lot of the stuff does yet.
And I think overall, these cards give us... a lot more information than just about those 4 models. I think they give us a pretty clear picture of what we're looking at for the new edition here. And overall, still looking positive. I'm still excited. Still happy.
Yeah, I think somehow things even look more positive, in my opinion.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Yeah, the artwork for the new cards is better. They redid a lot of the artwork.
Some of them.
Like, so before we jump right into the cards, I think there are... some other spoilers
in the text that he's talking about.
No, because they've been doing something like every day, basically. So we recorded last week, we missed like a bunch, you know, because they've been really going all out with.
We probably didn't talk about Standard Bearers yet. Reposition,
we didn't.
Yeah, so Reposition is a new rule that's replacing Reform. It's replacing Light Cavalry. It's replacing a lot of different things, or at least those different things. And it's just a rule that it's reposition followed by a number, and that will be the number of inches that that model gets to move after its action, presuming it has not ran or failed a charge.
So I wonder if they'll replace like Swift Hunter with like reposition 2. It's not the same functionally, but it reduces the rules in the game.
Awesome. Well, I mean, they'll have to be different named rules because one of them calls killing models and the other one is...
I'm just saying like they could remove Swift Hunter and put in reposition 2.
But that was one of the things that I was going to comment after knowing the cards is it doesn't seem that they're going for a straight simplification of a lot of effects. They added a lot of weird like new effects and new rules and new abilities that were actually like they harkened back to Mark 1. I got a lot of memory of Mark 1 and looking at some of these cards. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure about that because the Mark 1 to Mark 2 transition, that was all about like simplification where they were taking like multiple rules and then sort of like just making one rule that fit them all and then putting that and then handing that one out. But then over the course of the, you know, Mark 2 and the Hordes release and everything, they started getting the bloat came back essentially, but yeah, so I don't know.
I was thinking, so I made the comment earlier today that, like, a lot of keywords that are currently in the game are now getting subjugated to, like, the front of the card, like the little circles, like the advantages. And I thought that was weird, because they, like, seemed to have compiled some of the old rules onto the front of the card, but then they just added more new rules.
Again, like, that's exactly what they did from Mark 1 to Mark 2.
Yeah.
Probably just to make sure that there's not a back of the card that's just packed with rules. So they took Blessed out of it and put it on the front.
You know, I mean,
took Disruption out and put it on the front.
They're looking out for me because they know that I don't turn over cards. So
yeah,
there you go.
The least amount of rules John can forget
like,
by keeping
Pathfinder, for instance, Advanced Deployment, Stealth. All of those didn't. There were no symbols in Mark One. They were all so. Then they just took like a lot of the most like common rules and they turned those into the symbols.
So
it seems like they're just doing that like even farther with Mark 2 with a lot of the... Because there's tons and tons of rules that are just verbatim
repeated. Yeah.
Card by card by card by card by card.
Yeah. So. That's actually why I was kind of thinking about the Assault one is like the cards that have those rules, like a ton of models have Pathfinder, right? And so there seem to be common occurring rules that end up on the front of the card. So I was thinking, like, Assault might be more prevalent in Mark 3, because currently not that much stuff has it.
It's because it's really weird and janky.
Yeah.
Also, weren't there different versions of Assault on different cards?
Yeah.
There's War Beast and Warjack Assault, then there's Solo Assault, and then there was Unit Assault, and they were all three different.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So
now all three will be under the same heading of Assault. Like, they'll be written in such a way that it's...
For instance, Unit Assault used to require an order. You would have to get the Assault order.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's just an icon on their symbol, and we don't know what the icon stands for.
Right.
I mean, we know that the icon stands for Assault, but we don't know what the actual rule associated...
Yeah, we don't have the text.
Yeah, we don't have the text. So the text might very well say, when a unit is doing this, it requires an order. When a warjack is doing it, it requires it to, you know, spend a focus to charge or whatever. Like, we don't know. That's, again, like, it's one of the interesting things about all these cards that were released, is we can do all this speculation, but we don't actually know, at the end of the day, what they all mean, because we don't know the rules associated with them.
Well played, PP.
Yeah, it's well pretty played. Great. It's pretty great. But, like, if they're just simplifying Assault to be the same on everything, then that's interesting, because now, like, Trenchers, who have Assault now, who didn't used to, that means that they can just Assault whenever they charge, and they don't need to get an order to do it.
Trenchers did have Assault.
They did?
As an order.
But it was an order, right?
Right.
It's going to be interesting, because I remember very vividly in my transition from Mark 1 to Mark 2, not knowing what any of those symbols meant. And, like...
Having to train yourself.
To train yourself.
You just have to learn a few more.
Yeah, and now I'm going to have to learn a bunch of new ones.
I mean, they're not hard to...
They make cheat sheets for them, too. In the end, it's a good thing.
It is. I just remember being uncomfortable at the beginning, so... It's weird, because...
I don't like change.
No, it's not that I don't like change.
Prefer change.
All I guess I'm really referencing is...
Having to go through the
list. Very comfortable with Mark II rules.
Yeah.
And very comfortable with what models do. And we're all going to be stepping back into, like, not being comfortable. And then for a lot of us that have played for a really long time, we know the rules so well, it's actually going to be a hindrance in trying to learn what new stuff does.
Oh,
so,
crap. They also have that.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting. I'm excited for it. But, yeah.
So going through some of the other smaller changes, I mean, not small. They're significant.
Mm-hmm.
Rate of fire is changed. If you have a rate of fire whatever your rate of fire is the number of initial attacks you can make with that weapon, ranged weapon. So
presumably without having to spend anything.
Right. Without having, it's more, it's initial attacks. You get that many. So if Kane remained the same, he would be able to make infinite attacks.
So he gets Kane 1 speed every turn?
Right.
No, it's better than Kane 1 speed.
It's better than that.
Because you could keep shooting the same model over and over until it dies.
If you are in his range, you are dead. If he can mathematically do damage to you.
I'm going
to
guess his rate of fire changed.
I'm going to guess so.
I'm going to guess he has reload infinity, so which is right. The sister rule.
Right.
So that's actually...
He had a reload 1.
But if Kane 1 remained the same, being able to shoot 4 times a turn would also be pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm. No, I thought reload was the number of times you could buy an additional attack for
one. That's correct.
That is the case.
Oh, is it? Yes. Oh, I thought it was the number of attacks you got per buy. So like the Grolar might be reload 2, and so for 1 focus he gets 2 shots.
Without the reload rule, you are unable to buy ranged attacks under any circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Only with the reload rule are you allowed to buy ranged attacks.
But any effects or things that grant extra ranged attacks still cause, like you can still do that. It's not, whereas rate of fire before was a hard limit to the number of attacks you could make during your activation.
Now there is no such limit.
Correct. Which is sweet. Like, it just simplifies a lot of rules. Like, every time something grants an attack, you don't have to think, like, wait, like, does that get around rate of fire? Because half of them say they do, and half of them say they don't, and so you have to check each one individually, and, you know.
It's a good
simplification, since 9 out of 10 times they did say ignore rate of fire, so it's just like, well, why do we have rate of fire?
Right.
Yeah, and then, I mean, it's great for new players, because it's just a very intuitive rule.
Mm-hmm.
Rate of fire 2, I get 2 shots. Like, you don't have to be like, well, actually, you have to buy that. Like, wait, what?
Yeah, you only get 1 shot for free, and then you can shoot the second one.
Yeah.
But he's got 2 guns.
Yeah.
It's more
I'm holding 2 bombs.
Yeah.
Yep.
One isn't lit yet.
Oh, okay. I guess I have to spend a fury. I guess I got to get a little bit angry to light that second one.
Yeah, exactly. He has to physically reach off.
Some specifics related to that rule. Jason Souls revealed that the Manticore... the Retribution Jack, its ROF is now D3. So there can also be random rates of fire.
Mm-hmm.
You don't like that idea?
No, just poor Manticores.
Yeah, poor Manticores.
I mean, the thing is, you literally can't say that. Because we have no idea what else Manticores do, what rules they added.
They probably got a point reduction since they're not cheap.
Yeah, I mean...
It could have rate of fire D3 and reload D3.
Yeah, sure.
Oh.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
I mean, there's just a million things they could do.
Sky's the limit.
Yeah. And if there's one thing that we've seen with the preview cards is it's not like... I don't know how to describe this. So they're not just giving lip service to, hey, we changed a bunch of stuff. They really changed a bunch of stuff, at least on the cards that we saw. They're very different models than they are in Mark II.
I mean...
The Slayer is the only one that I think was, like, kind of underwhelming. But it was still, like, good.
They haven't drastically changed. The models still function like they have served the same purpose they do. But
I think the Mountain King was drastically changed, I would argue. Drastically changed. I would argue that Trenchers were not drastically changed, but significantly changed. Like, they weren't just, like, whitewashed and given, like, a lower point cost.
Well, the Mountain King still does the same thing it does, except it can mathematically do it because its stats and stuff.
That's not true. It also has a debuff on which it didn't have before. It becomes more of a support piece.
Never mind.
It has rage, which is...
Bulldoze.
Yeah, like...
I mean, we get into
specifics, but like, I just completely disagree with the notion that...
Keith, you also forgot, in talking about the Standard Bearer change, since they...
I never talked about the Standard Bearer.
Yeah, we just did the reposition.
Oh. Well, they also talked about Standard Bearers.
They did.
And people were questioning, what do my Standard Bearers do now that every unit is essentially fearless? You know, Standard Bearers in this version of the game will allow you to reroll your failed command checks. So WTF do they do now? And Privateer Press said that they will grant an additional 2 inches to the command bubble of a unit by having a Standard Bearer, which means that most units are going to get a slight decrease to sort of compensate for...
They actually didn't say that.
They didn't say that?
I went and looked. Officers that come with the Standard Bearers are having their command stats reduced, not the unit command stats, which is similar. It's different. Yeah. So an officer usually has a +1 command stat, right? So I think the officers are going to be more in line with the units that they lead, and right. then the standard will give a plus two.
So then generally, so it used to be that officers would give you kind of a plus 1 inch, but now regardless of whether they have a higher command or not, the standard bearer will always give a plus two.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I think I misunderstood what he wrote then.
Yeah.
So my suspicion will be that like the Bane Thralls are command eight. Mm-hmm. The Bane Thrall officer will also be command eight. But the standard bearer will give you a 10-inch command level.
It should also be noted real quick that the standard bearer, I believe, has to be within 5 of the leader.
Yes.
Which makes him
yep.
very in... Like, you can't just have that stupid Bane Thrall idiot in the back that can't be killed. So, that's yeah. nice.
All of the standard bearers that grant effects, yeah, are going to be... Are now in danger. There. Yeah, like the Creel Warrior yeah. one, for mm-hmm. instance. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
The other interesting thing is it adds sort of a tactic to the game. So if people are taking advantage of that extended control range, that standard bearer is going to be a marked man. Because if you have your unit spread out such that they're effectively, you know, with a 10 command bubble, and you're like, well, if I kill the standard bearer, your bubble goes down to 8, and then like 3 of your guys are going to be out of command now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a pretty valid
assuming
tactic.
out of formation is as bad as it is now.
True. Yep, that's the good job, PP.
I mean, yeah, that's with everything that we talk about, which is yeah. it's very exciting. It was such an exciting day. Like, oh my god.
Still talking about older stuff, which is less exciting.
Another point about the standard bearer before we go past it. They did say standards that currently don't have a weapon are not getting one.
Right.
They clarified that.
Makes sense because they're yeah. not going to change the models.
Correct.
Yeah.
So.
A bit of a change to frenzying. It has been simplified down to a frenzy for Warbeast frenzies. It shakes all shakeable effects and charges the nearest model with its highest PS weapon.
A slight nerf.
Yeah.
A slight nerf.
Is it not boosted anymore?
Nah, it still does all the.
Or do we think
still fully boosted?
Okay.
Still
I guess it's charged. Yeah.
It doesn't say fully boosted, does it?
They haven't explicitly said.
Yeah, they haven't said either way.
Oh, that's fair.
So potentially.
So
just curious.
Yeah. It's still a nerf.
Now, the wild and rampant speculation that ensued from that was, they didn't say anything about line of sight. Line of sight must be gone from the game. It's not. It's not. Mm-hmm. Jason Souls, or Will Schick, I think, came in and shut that thread down because it was getting a little crazy in there.
Jesus. Well... Nothing is sacred, right?
Yeah.
That's one thing that I've really enjoyed about this process is just watching Jason Souls come in and try to deal with the pedantic a-holes. Because he's just like, okay, I'm trying to clarify it. Look, God, this is why I don't want to get granular with you guys, okay? Because you're killing me. You're literally killing me.
Yeah. I mean, it's literally give an inch, take a mile. Like, it's like the purest like form of that. Like, yeah.
Yep.
Was there anything else?
The shaking biggest... thing is actually a benefit though, right? Potentially because a lot of times Warbeasts will be like knocked down or whatever, and then they'll
because they used to prioritize enemy models, and now they just go to the nearest one.
Yeah, they still stand up in frenzy; they don't just stay there.
I thought if a Warbeast was knocked down, when it frenzied, does it stand up?
It stands up and walks towards a model, and then doesn't do anything.
Doesn't make an attack. I'm just saying, right. You shake stationary. You shake like the shaking part.
It's not irrelevant.
Also, so this makes the Legion rule a little better, right? The Legion rule where they won't attack their Warlock.
Oh, if they still have that.
Keep it.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I'm just saying, like,
yep.
It makes it a little bit better.
It makes it relevant instead of 100% irrelevant.
Yeah, a little more relevant. It's still not that relevant. But I don't know, just
wreck markers are gone.
That's the most concerning one.
Keith, what are you going to do? They got Lich, finally got him. They got that guy.
That is obviously a Crix nerf. Quite targeted.
It's a Medoth buff.
I mean, it's
a protectorate and mercenary buff. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Those Jack graveyards were no fun. Well, I guess mercenaries, assuming their heavies become usable again because the Colossals didn't care. This is the only change where I feel the game has definitely lost some flavor. I'm not prepared to say that this change is bad or great or somewhere in between. But it's the first change where you're like, my immediate thought was, yeah, that makes it not quite the same feel as the game I used to play.
My thought of it was in the new version of Mark III, we know that you're being forced to take larger battle groups, and we already know that there are incentives to take more Warjacks. Like, one, you're being forced to, and then two, like, you're incentivized to because you get the free focus every turn.
Focus efficiency.
Whereas on the Horde side, like, the changes so far have basically been, you know, literally, like, oh, good, I'm losing the game super bad. Or, like, Frenzing just got objectively worse for the Hordes player. And then
they were obviously more or less happy with how Hordes lists were being built.
Right.
So they didn't change the incentivization much for how Hordes lists are built.
Well, I was thinking about it more. The you get a free fury from your dead dudes is actually kind of irrelevant in Mark 3 because you have to bring larger battle groups. The only time where you really got screwed on the, like, I don't have dudes to generate fury is when you took the, like, two Warbeast battle group and one of them died. Like,
right.
But now you, like, have to take, like, at least three or four, probably.
Well, I've also seen games where it's, like, Warlock and Warcaster. And no Beasts or Jacks. Like, that's where it's really relevant.
Yeah. But I was concerned about, like, I was slightly concerned about the no Wreck Markers things because, you know, it seems extremely beneficial to one side of the game but not the other. Like, because typically Warjacks don't have Pathfinder, and then
I think it's fine.
Yeah,
yeah, I see what you're saying. Like, I had the same initial concern too. About it's like, well, they're buffing Warjacks a lot. Sounds like, but they're not really buffing War Beasts as much.
I just love.
And so it feels bad, and it feels like. But Nigel brought up the point where he's like, well, so if all they're doing is incentivizing War Machine to play Jack Heavy. Which they can't do now. Uh-huh. He's like, that's basically just they're essentially like they'll have the same kind of design space that the Hordes do. That doesn't necessarily mean they'll be like more or less powerful.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
no, also, heavy Warbeasts are really good against heavy Warjacks.
That too.
Like, they trade pretty well with them.
Also,
often
a lot of my concerns went out the window today because I'm like, wow, if every like troll heavy gets as better as the Mountain King got. I'm sitting pretty good.
Okay, that's not how that's going to work. Right. The Mountain King
I don't know.
Is a complete pile.
Imagine what will happen to Mulg.
Yeah, he'll probably become Mat 6 and like lose protective fit.
Didn't they say something in the Insiders that they wanted to buff the huge base models so that they were more effective on the table because you were paying more for them?
Mm-hmm.
That they wanted them to act as though they were these giant engines on the field doing a bunch of damage. So I'm guessing they looked at all of the huge base models and made the decision to make it Mat 6, probably, again, upping the score of it or the cost of it accordingly.
Actually reduced its cost.
Its cost was reduced.
If
by about 20%.
If you assume that everything in Mark 2 or in Mark 3 is just as flat, like doubling, then it got a 10% point cost reduction.
Interesting.
Because it went from 20 to 36.
In either case, they wanted to design those things to be much more battlefield effective.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping to see, you know, a buff to the Conquest and Victor and those kinds of things.
I mean, 100%.
Well. Yeah. So I think everybody's going to see
Base
buff. I think everybody's going to see a huge base buff. I don't know if it's specifically just to War Beasts.
Battle engines.
Yeah. Here's what I noticed about the Mountain King. I don't know, Chad, you're better qualified to speak to this than I am. But so much like the Blightbringer is good because it has utility, they've added utility to the Mountain King in the def debuff that he has, and then also rage are
and
both,
bulldoze
and bulldoze. He's still a huge beater. He still holds zones like a boss. He's going to have whelp chatting. We know that. We don't know what his grid looks like. Well, that'll be interesting to see. He's a little bit cheaper, so he does all the things that he did before. But now he actually adds utility to your army, which he didn't do before. And if they take that tack with all of the gargantuans specifically, like right. I think that bodes really well.
Yep.
I actually was kind of thinking that like every huge base model might just have bulldoze, because it like
possible.
The problem I have with playing huge base models is like two infantry model like random dirtles just like prevent you from doing like any of the things that you want to do. You know what I mean? Like they're so physically. I rarely play with them because they're so much of a unless they're absurd ranged output like the Stormwall or the Galleon. Like, playing with them is too difficult to actually, like, get them in melee and go do cool stuff with.
Yeah.
So all of them having bulldoze sort of fixes that without...
That is a huge nerf to zealots, and I do not approve.
Unless they have some sort of, like, stand their ground, can't be pushed or pulled or something like that.
Well, yeah. I mean, they might as well. They'll probably right. have every rule.
But I'm going to rein you back in again, because we're not done with the catching up stuff.
Oh, okay. My God.
Keep it going.
Confirmed 75 points is our new 50-point level.
Mm-hmm. 75 points plus 25 points of battle group.
75 points plus, yeah, it's like 30 some points of 20 high 20s to low 30s points of battle group. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Roughly the same as now.
Yeah. So if you math, if you do the doubling, it's like the games are going to be 102 to 108 points instead of 110 to 112 points. So it's just a very small, it's like one solo less than what you're playing now with twice the battle group that forced upon you.
Although a lot of stuff is cheaper, so
not a lot.
Well, we'll see, I guess.
We'll see.
They said that there's going to be, like, the reason they doubled the point scale was so that there could be granularity. So I suspect that there will be a lot of models that just, like, went, that either just straight up doubled in cost, went down 2 to 4 points.
Yeah.
Or I guess, or one to four points. Yeah. Or went up 1 to 4 points. Like, I don't think it's going to be a bigger...
I've just noticed as a trend, a lot of the things that they have spoiled, almost all of them have been cheaper.
They've also only spoiled models that are
underpowered.
Objectively,
like Eris. Eris is the only one that's the same, and she's exactly the same point.
Yeah.
She had a huge overhaul, though.
She did.
And then, so another bigger one, skill checks are entirely gone.
Amen, hallelujah.
You just repair.
The only one that I was concerned, like, slightly, like, on this was the Stormcrawlers. Because, like, every other skill check in the game is affecting your own stuff, like repairs, Marshals, stuff like that.
I felt that Stormcrawlers fit a really interesting role in that they were like, I don't really care what your defense is, I just have to, like, figure out this watch, and then I'll hit you.
Maybe they'll have a gun now.
I think they'll just have a magic attack.
They'll give him a ranged weapon, or maybe magic attack.
Yeah. I think literally it'll just be like a storm call.
They'll probably replace it with ranged or magic. It's just, I mean, it's obviously less good in a lot of cases.
It's less exciting.
So I'll be interested to see what they do with them.
One less thing to put on E-Nemo, too.
That's actually that is kind of a quick and easy way to nerf the Stormwall a little bit.
I mean, that's not the Stormwall's problem.
it's one of them.
Yeah. Okay.
Keith, you have to watch Keith. He's so sly.
Yeah,
he's always like willing to give you nothing.
He takes trickle down economics view of like how to fix models. If you support this way, then it will make all these other models better.
No. He's just sleight of handing you 100%. He's just like, well, you know, we could nerf the Stormwall here. But not get rid of, like, covering fire or storm pods or...
Trickle-down economics is one of the foundations of 6 more years, right?
Yeah.
6 more years.
I thought it was a Crix
platform.
It's a Crix platform? The Crix party platform? All right.
We've got confirmation on how monstrosities and vectors are going to work.
Oh, God.
Neither of them benefit from power-up, which is the automatic focus that the Warjacks get. Instead, Monstrosity gains a focus point each time it suffers damage as the result of a continuous effect or from an attack, whether by friendly or enemy models.
Anatomical precision! Yep.
So there's and I think all of the, currently all like the Overlord type models have anatomical precision, so they can just go up and poke them for focus.
And they get to keep it round to round, right?
Yep. They are not removed during the maintenance phase. They are retained.
Oh, that's legit.
Yeah. So just power them up and wait till another round when they're ready to rock and roll. And then
I mean, a lot of the times they'll probably just be powered up in round one, I'm guessing.
Probably.
Just 3 stabbies and then spend 3 focus to heal it if you want or whatever.
Yep.
Or just allocate them in round one if you don't have other stuff to do.
That's less cool.
You know what's kind of cool about those guys is Corrosion's like power up for them.
Yeah.
Legit.
You can take them blow thralls.
Yeah.
Scather
Temples. Oh, my God. You can shoot them with the blow thrall to stop them from getting charged by the McCann thralls, and then they get a free focus at the beginning of their turn from the corrosion.
Wobble gobble.
Yeah.
Likewise, power-up does not affect vectors, which are actually considered warjacks, but warjacks without a cortex. Okay. Instead, they rely on focus induction. And now focus induction reads, whenever a Convergence Warjack spends a focus during its activation, you can give a focus point to another Convergence Warjack if the two are in the same battle group and are within 6 inches of one another. So there's no restriction on it. So you can, if you got 3 on one jack, it can just go 3 to the next jack and 3 to the next jack and 3 to the next jack.
So theoretically, you only ever need to allocate 3. And assuming the corollary doesn't change, that means you probably never need to allocate anything.
Yeah, I feel like the corollary is going to change
Just
a little bit.
It might not.
I am going to bet.
The quote from Souls is, without delving into the rules, the corollary remains a solid tool in the Convergence's toolbox.
I guarantee, I'm calling it now, it's going to be a buoy so that you can arc it, you know, like, so you can be, you know, vector.
More than 6 inches.
Just calling it now, he's going to basically be a link in the chain for you.
That'd be interesting.
6 inches.
What's
for,
that?
For more than 6 inches.
Yeah, yeah, so you can. Yeah.
Is that what the definition of corollary is?
I don't know.
Like.
Is anybody here an electrical engineer? Yeah.
Oh, God. And that's it's a mathematical term, right?
It is.
Corollary is a mathematical term.
Fair enough.
So this is one of the things that has me excited about playing Convergence, because it's going to be really fun planning your turns. So there's kind of a lot to it, because you're like, not only do you have to positionally like figure out where your guys are going to be, but you also have to figure out like how many points of focus you're going to spend with a jack. So like, well, I'm going to send this jack in, and he's only going to really buy two extra attacks. So I'm only going to be able to ship to the next guy. So I have to like allocate him one. So I don't know. It'll just be an interesting thought exercise every turn.
It makes them much stronger counterpunchers.
I agree.
Yeah. Because if they're going out, like if you're charging out with your jack and you're charging out 9 inches, and you're like, oh, there's no jacks within 6 of me. Oh, that kind of sucks.
Couple small notes that may have larger implications. Allocation is clearly defined as the focus points a warcaster gives to the warjack during the control phase after resolving power up. At any other time, a warjack is gaining focus, not being allocated focus. Also, there's a cap of 3 focus for most warjacks, virtually all warjacks, and for monstrosities.
So every warjack, but he's referring to Behemoth, probably.
Still Warbeast Supremacy.
Warjack. Or Deathjack and Avatar.
I wonder if they're changing the bonding rules.
I think that gets us caught up.
Okay. Good.
The cards that we saw today.
We are the best, like, last week tonight podcast. Just saying.
We're just as popular.
We're just
did they say
behind.
Something about battle engines?
Anything definitive.
They did say that they're all getting buffed. They didn't,
they didn't go into specifics.
Well, except the Menoth one, right?
And probably the Gator one and the Convergence one, but, you know, whatever.
The good ones.
I did break Banky's brain this weekend because we were talking about huge bases, because Privateer Press and the PPP cast had said, you know, all the huge bases are basically, including Battle Engines, are getting buffed to bring them more in line. And I was like, I cannot wait till the Menoth Battle Engine gets buffed, because that thing is so terrible.
It already did.
Yeah, and then Banky just looked at me like, and then he was like going to go into this like logical explanation of why I was wrong. But he was trying to, like, I could see he was struggling like how to politically tell me that I was wrong about it, even though I was just trolling him.
You just classic John'd him. That's classic John.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Classic John.
The Avatar is so overcosted at 10 points.
Yeah, sometimes you only roll 2 focus and then still kill a Warpulse Stalker.
It's sort of the War Machine dad joke.
Jesus.
Yeah,
classic. It is the classic War Machine dad joke.
Yeah,
all right, can we talk about freaking cards yet?
Okay, fine. Which one do you want to go with first?
Wait, we can't talk about cards yet. We are almost there. We're talking.
God!
We are now on today's spoilers, and we have to talk about UA's.
Dragonfather?
UA changes.
Oh, my God.
There's no FA on UA's anymore.
Yep. The unit attachments field allowance now match the unit's field allowance.
Pretty sweet.
I'd be killstroking. That's what I'd be doing.
I'm assuming unless they're character UA. So Legion kind of got hosed in that.
Kaizi could still be FA1, or they could be changed to FA1.
That could be, but I just don't see that.
Yeah, I don't see that.
Either. 3 units of Chaosies with Underboss.
You know what might actually
happen? Trenchers went from FA2 to FAU, right?
Yes. Actually, there's something that he said in there that nobody's talked about all day. He said that units that had multiple weapon attachment options could like mix and match.
Yeah.
So it's worth noting that that's also probably in the pipe.
What units had multiple?
None. Which is the why he's talking about it is weird.
So okay, got it.
We might have new weapon attachments.
I'm thinking like the Trenchers, the Trencher Commandos and the Trenchers both have 2 different weapon attachment types.
Sure.
They might be interchangeable.
Like a sniper and a mortar or something like that.
Yeah. Exactly. One is a grenade launcher guy and one's a spray.
It's a blunderbuss.
But it's a spray,
not a blunderbuss. Yeah, it's a scattergun.
Yeah, scattergun.
Got it.
Shotgun.
That's cool.
So, something to think about.
Those scattergun commandos are really good too. They're like rat 6 with scatterguns.
Yep. And then yet with the
rat 5,
trencher little guy, you get close fire with them.
They're rat 5.
They are.
That's still not bad.
They'll probably be rat 6.
They're rat 6 now, dude.
Yeah,
two.
Boost.
He's on the card.
I can't.
I mean, we didn't see their card.
We haven't started talking about cards yet.
Yeah, we can.
Didn't
I cover the text blurb? He had some text blurb with some little deets in there.
I'm not going to lie.
I think we covered it all.
I read, and then I scooped and then found the pictures of the cards and started reading that.
Yeah.
I didn't read anything else.
Okay.
Classic Playboy reader.
Yeah. I mean, did you not do that initially? You opened the document.
I've never done that
you
ever.
Opened the document and you're like, in today's Two for Insider, you didn't just you legitimately read.
I always skip straight to the centerfold. Yeah. No, I do.
Bull crap.
I always do diligence.
He always does it. He does his dishes first. He's got to go to do
cutting political commentary is what he's that magazine for.
Oh my god.
So, to the main event, the cards that were revealed, starting with a really exciting one.
Oh, whatever. You're excited.
The Slayer, Crick's Heavy Warjack.
Dude,
this is the least changed of all of them. It brings up only one really important thing, which is that we see in its melee attacks that the first stat on melee attacks is range, and the range of the Death Claws and the Tusks is one. We are prophets.
Yep.
That's a huge deal.
Yeah,
it is a huge deal, dude. The Slayer has only gone up. Because it's literally the exact same stats, except it's got 1-inch melees and cost less.
Yep.
And power-up.
Power-up.
And then presumably whatever else changed in the game.
I feel like
the Slayer's white stats are exactly the same. Number of boxes, exactly the same. Its abilities.
White stats.
Exactly the same.
I feel like it's not going to see play. I'm calling it now.
It's see play.
I think it'll see play because now it's the equivalent of 5 points.
Yeah.
So you're talking about like... That's the same cost as a Troll Light. It's the
it's almost as much as Tartarus costs.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a pretty good solo. Like, it's a pretty good 5-point solo.
It's pretty comparable to Tartarus, like I would say, in terms of output.
Combo strikes to 19, right?
Combo strikes to 22.
22.
Is it 22?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's always been 22.
I don't know about you, John, but I'm thinking that it's 22.
And it's Matt 7.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's Matt 7.
You're welcome, Lance.
It's got three initials, right? Because it's got hard head now. So
it always had that, I think.
But I don't think it always had hard head. But it
didn't, but they've used hard head to... actually, that might be new.
I'm pretty sure it is.
I mean, it's a rule that's been in the game. Like, it's on, like, Titans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, like, the
so I guess that is a...
From Circle,
it
right?
used to be on Jackson Mark 1.
How hilarious is it that none of us know what a freaking Mark 2 Slayer is like? It's like, what is this thing? I guess I don't know.
Like, wait, somebody
it looks
played
the same.
Somebody played a battle box game one time.
Yeah, like,
it looks pretty playable to me. I mean,
I
just
thought about playing that Machine Minds list a couple times,
the
and then I realized how many Slayers I would have to buy.
Yeah, but you can get those things on eBay for like $3. I mean, I've looked.
Yeah, plus shipping though. That's where they get
you. Yeah, it's like the regular cost. Yeah. One interesting note is that Warjack's now have the construct advantage printed on them rather than just in the book saying that they're constructs, which is nice. There's consolidating rules.
Yeah. So. Yep, hardhead is a new rule on it. It's a new rule.
He looked it up. The Crix player had to look up what his Jack did.
Of course I did.
I've never actually seen... Keith, you even own a Slayer? I've never seen you play one.
I own... Yes, I'm pretty sure. I don't know where it is.
The other important things we can garner from this card are that Warjacks still have all of the relevant systems. So there's going to be something. I mean, we don't know what disabling them does, and we don't know what them being enabled does, but they're still there. So we were kind of correct when we said that they would never get rid of the grid, but it's also a little disappointing to know that Warjacks will suffer disadvantages for, you know, taking partial damage.
Yeah.
I didn't look closely at the grid. Did they spread the systems
out a little bit? It's literally the same.
It's exactly
the same.
I think the Slayer might have more boxes in the new...
Nope, it's the same.
Okay.
It's the exact same.
That I did look at.
So, any other than that, the Slayer, boring, who cares? next.
Well, saving the best for last, right?
Well, the next one's Trenchers, right?
No.
Well, then let's do the next one, baby.
The next one is the Mountain Gang.
Boring. Can we move on?
No one cares.
What? Get out!
It's still threshold 6. It's awful.
So the first, moving from top to bottom on the card, left
There's
to
so
right,
much.
The first thing that we see that changes, Matt 6, baby.
Mm.
Will Schick was right.
Will Schick was not a liar.
Is the prophet.
I mean,
he was just a year ahead of
He was a liar, by the way.
He was talking about Mark 3.
Was he?
He was giving you spoilers, Chad.
Okay. I do like spoilers.
You
like
didn't even
it
know.
Was sneaky, sneaky Age of Sigmar spoilers.
Oh, sneaky.
He's trying so hard.
God, so hard.
This.
I'll never give it up.
This card, yeah, we know. We know you won't. keep fighting the good
The rest of his front, the rest of the front of his card isn't really different. Right?
He has Assault now, but he had that thanks to the new.
Oh, that's right. They added a. Right.
He had that.
And much like Warjacks now have the Construct rule printed on them, we see that Gargantuans and presumably Colossals have the Pathfinder.
Yeah, I like
advantage
this.
Printed on them.
When it's just for new players' benefit.
Well, yeah. I've always liked that because when Battle Engines came out, they had the Battle Engine rules printed on a thing, and I was just like, why do we have to have a paragraph or like a sentence or two in this book that says Battle Engines always have Pathfinder? I was like, just do that. Just
print Pathfinder. Yeah.
No reason for it not to be there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Everything else on the front of the card is unchanged. Fury 5, Threshold 6, it's still the same. Spray 10, Power 16.
It's only FA2 now, right? Or wait.
It's the same.
You're right. It's the same. Cut that out.
Still Power 19. Still PS19 on the fists. And we see that the point cost is 36, which in assuming... Still, we're going to run with the assumption that the point costs are exactly doubled. This is a 2-point cost mark. In Mark II terms, it's a 2-point cost reduction for the Mountain King in Age of Sigmar.
It's 10%. It's 10% cheaper.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
Significant.
It's very good.
I mean, so it's theoretically as much points.
2 points is a fixed Skinner.
It's theoretically as many points as the Glacier King.
Yeah.
So and the whammy, when we turn to the back of the card, something that John has trouble doing, we see the big whammy, which is that it's Animus's Rage.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't sure how to feel about this at first. I kind of squinted and I was just like, because.
Well, it can mean a couple different things, right?
But I think it's really good, actually.
Yeah.
I think I'm in the same boat.
Go ahead.
But worst case scenario is that everything still has the same rage tax, if we want to call it that, that it always did in Trolls, where it's like 1 to 2, sometimes 3, or in the Skinner's case, 5 powers less than you think it would be.
Yeah.
And you're like, why? Why is this? I don't have rage available for everything. It's really expensive, and I don't take Maulers. And now, if it was the same thing except Mountain Kings, it would be pretty rough. But we could also infer that, in a more positive light, that like the Mauler might be base higher strength. Right.
It just has a muck now.
Or train wreck or something actually sweet.
Say the thing, Chad.
Also, they changed Rage. It's Warbeast only now.
Yep.
And it only lasts for a turn.
Well, what's Butcher going to do?
That's actually
that
sweet
opens up design space.
For that reason.
That's what I said.
All right.
Or that's what I was saying earlier. So it opens up like... Yeah, so they could... they're rebalancing everything. So like a lot of our infantry could be rebalanced with this in mind now. And then we might not have to hear that stupid argument ever again. Well, that's why your thing is blah, 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 because you have +3 strength on a stick. And it's like, first of all, never took that stick. Second of all...
Maybe you should have took the stick.
Yeah, it's... Yeah. There's a cost...
the argument that you had the stick, you just didn't
There's
use
a
it.
Cost associated with it, Lance. And
I liked Maulers. I thought they were sweet models.
They are sweet models. Like, that was the very first model I bought besides my battle box. Right. Unfortunately, after time, you only ever took Pyre Trolls.
Right.
So I wonder, I'm assuming Flaming Fists will still be an Animus, so I'm wondering what it's going to do, if it's going to be the same. Like, but the sweet thing is that, like, regardless, like, you didn't count the Mountain King's Animus before a muck at all.
Yeah.
It might as well have not been there. It might as well have not had an Animus. Like, I mean, you used it when you needed to, as a
Thresher.
Sweep. Yeah, as a perk. Like, I guess, like, I'm going to do a sweep. I might as well use a muck, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, it's there. But, like, it was never like, yes, a muck. Got it.
And Rage makes so much, it's so much more tolerable on the Mountain King than it is on a Mauler. Because for the Mauler, you're like, ugh, it's going in to attack a light war beast. It needs Rage or it's going to bounce off. With the Mountain King, in a lot of situations, it doesn't need Rage. In like the vast majority of situations, you're like, it's going to kill infantry, doesn't need Rage. It's going against the light, doesn't need Rage. It's going against an unbuffed heavy, probably doesn't need Rage. You're like,
I mean, now that it's Mat 6, doesn't need Rage.
And then going into either a buffed heavy or another Colossal, when it will need Rage, it's in so many fewer situations that it feels much less taxing. Like your Warcaster having to spend two to make the Mauler effective, it was really frustrating, especially when you wanted to rush it or do something else.
Yeah.
In the case of the Mountain King, in the situations when it needs rage, you're going to be like, I'm glad it has rage.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be, it's awesome. It's perfect on its card. Because you would always take a Mauler before to rage something else. And then late game, you'd be like, okay, well, all the Maulers, all I have left, I might as well rage it and send it in or whatever. But it would never, you know, was what it was there for. It was always there to rage, put rage on something else. And so just not even having to take it, like, it's almost like a 9-point, like, discount to the Mountain King. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. My favorite part.
Yeah, and this, and having rage on its card puts it in the same weight class as Conquest and Hyperion Galleon for hitting power. Mm-hmm. Like, cream of the crop.
Yeah, it crushes stuff.
Where you would think the frickin' Mountain King would be.
I also think it makes so much sense from a fluff perspective.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, too.
Because
yeah,
Mountain Kings are angry.
So, yeah.
I mean, that's something that they depict in all the art, and they make a point to talk about in the fluff. And
yeah, Doomy waking them up and then being really upset, and has to like calm them down, or takes a lot of energy to try to stop them.
If anything in the game should have rage.
Right.
Like, yeah. Right.
It's like, it's sort of perfect. So
yeah. So, and then, yeah, the fact that they actually nerfed rage, like, itself, it at first I was just kind of like, but then I was like, well, you know, maybe it's not bad. So, that's just one thing. Like, then they also gave it Bulldoze, which is sweet. It might be on all huge bases now. That would make sense.
One time. Yep. Please.
Seriously helps relieve the getting jammed up problems.
That's what I like.
But it's certainly awesome on the Glacier King. The other thing we forgot to mention, it's the front of its card. It has Gunfighter now. That might also be a huge base thing, or a colossal thing.
That was a colossal thing before.
Yeah.
Okay.
They had Gunfighter and the rule that let them shoot out of engagement, no problem.
Right.
So they.
Weapons,
I wonder.
Weapons platform.
They might just be baked into Gunfighter now.
Or now.
Huh. Yeah. Maybe Gunfighter is both now? Who knows?
There'd be a buff actually, for Gunfighters.
That's actually something I didn't think of.
Yeah,
it would. Because
why would they print Gunfighter if that whole rule still existed for all huge bases? So it's either a huge base nerf or a Gunfighter buff, or they just separated the rules out and put Gunfighter on there and also have weapons platform.
Well, it's like we were talking about earlier, where they added Pathfinder. It just could be like that. It could be one of the rules that they just print on the card so you remember.
Okay. Yeah,
maybe Gunfighter just covers all of it now.
That would be a huge Gunfighter buff.
Yeah. Be a huge.
It would.
Because
then
buff.
Kane could charge someone and then be like, and shoot someone else. Like,
yeah.
What, they also buffed snacking. Snacking doesn't require you to actually heal anymore. It just says when you kill a model or when you box a model, you can choose to remove it from play. And then if you have damage missing, it says remove damage. And it specifically uses the remove damage verbiage again, which is another, like, that's a harken back to Mark 1, in my opinion. Whereas, like, they simplified a lot of that in Mark 2, and they just made it, like, healing and, like, repairing, which was removing damage.
Yeah. But the biggest gripe I have about that was in Circle. There was, constructs can't be healed, but then they had rules that explicitly said that could heal constructs, and then there were some that removed damage, and that inconsistently bugged the crap out of me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when I switched into Circle, though, that was very confusing.
Yeah.
Trying to remember which was which.
Yeah.
And then his spray now has Deafen.
Oh, that's not all, though.
No, also Killshot, it triggers on anything, any living model.
No,
any enemy model, yeah.
You're thinking of the crappy version it is now.
Yeah,
it's frustrating.
Well, now it's not even,
and like, it's destroyed or removed from play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can snack them and still kill shot.
Oh, that's so, like, that's exactly what kill shot should have been in the first place. Like, it's so stupid that
you
it,
just,
like,
grab a guy, eat him, and then vomit him all over his buddies.
When you kill something, shoot. Yeah. Kill shot. Easy.
And Deathly Roar is so awesome now. Oh, the Mountain King lost Terror, by the way. But
because it doesn't exist.
That's because it doesn't exist anymore. Yeah. Cut that out.
That was standard.
So Deathly Roar is so freaking awesome now because they added Deafen back into the game. Deafen was a rule in Mark 1, but it was like super different than it is now. It was on a Gristle. Like, Gristle's weapon is called Resounder.
Yeah.
And it used to cause Deafen. It was the only thing in the game that did it, in my knowledge.
Sure. Just from screaming.
But it was super different. It was models hit by Deafen suffer -2 to attacks. Like, their attack scores are -2. And they could not make attacks against models that began in their back arc. So, like, if you turned around, you couldn't attack any of the models that began to turn in your back arc because you, like, weren't aware that they were there because you couldn't hear them or whatever. It was okay. A really weird, janky Mark 1 rule.
It's kind of strange, yeah.
In Mark 2, they got completely rid of it. There was no such thing as Deafen anymore, to my knowledge. Dumb. And they just replaced, like, Gristle had it on her stick, and they just gave her crit smite, which is like, okay, that's fine, but it's boring. So Deafen is back now, baby, and it's awesome.
A model hit by this weapon suffers -2 defense and cannot give or receive orders for one round.
My question on this is, like, how game-breaking is it to units? Because, like, if you hit some dudes in the unit with it, right, and then those dudes just die to the POW 16, is the unit still affected by Deafen?
No.
That'll the come model's from. Hit, not
model hit.
Model slash unit.
So if they make a tough check, yes. Or if you, like, hit a multi-wound guy
if
and fail.
You somehow don't kill him, yeah.
And fail to kill them. But, like, if you just hit, like, a
warder?
Yeah. But, I mean, if you just hit, like, a Wolf of Orboros and he dies, like, okay he can't give or receive orders in heaven now, I guess.
Yeah.
I like
or hell, I don't know, whatever you know.
It's going to be rough on those to be very buffed Mana War when you spray down the
line.
Yeah,
correct, Nigel.
Well, just,
they can't give
can target,
the shield ball order again.
You can target unit leaders and then kind of shut that whole thing down.
If you don't kill them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
but I mean, like, shock troopers.
I think that's like the secondary part of it. The -2 defense
on
a boostable spray enables so much. I mean, I use Reckoners all the time.
Especially with assault.
Yeah, just to enable all kinds of
kill shot.
Mat 8 Mountain King.
It's basically Mat 8.
Yeah.
It's basically Mat 8. It's like a Reckoner.
Should have stayed Mat 5.
Plus, like, think of the Glacier King, Mountain King wombo combo. Boosh. Like, Mountain King sprays your caster, -2 defenses them, and then the Glacier King just, like, goes to town, like, with his, like...
Assuming he still has a rate of fire 3 gun.
I mean, maybe he has reload. I don't care. Either way, like, if he gets to shoot them 3 times after their -2 defense, that's all I care. That's all.
Yeah, they basically turned the Mountain King into a huge Reckoner.
Yeah, I guess.
An enormous freaking Reckoner.
Yeah.
Well, and it still has whelp shedding.
Yeah, it's very utilitarian. That's what I said. They added utility to the model.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like it was going to lose whelp shedding going into Mark III because, like, I feel like that was the original, like, idea behind the design of the Mountain King was, like, a guy that just, like, poops out whelps when he gets damaged because they're, you know, literally coming out of his model.
Yeah.
There's so much troll energy here little trolls pop out.
It's so dense.
There's so much going on.
I'm just excited for also the
every shot
bulldoze plus assault combo, so you're going to get really good angles on your assault shots. You'll be able to really get
Or if you go for, like, your 2 Mountain King list, you could have 1 Mountain King, like, push everyone into split, like, into place for the second Mountain King to, like, spray them down.
Absolutely. And then they high-five each other.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of shenanigans with that model, I feel like.
It's just so exciting because it's such a good model, and it feels so good to, like, finally, like, be excited about playing it and not, like, have to put it on the table and be like, yeah, aw. You know,
I immediately put mine in simple green. So.
Yeah.
Nice.
We're rebuilding him better, stronger.
I mean, it's really exciting. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Speaking as a Trollblood player, it's very
exciting. I may be handing my new in-box Mountain King to Marshall one of these days soon.
I mean.
So, yeah, that was very, very. Thank you, PP. Thank you for spoiling the one model pretty much that I wanted. Like,
now the roller coaster is way more fun, right? So, I mean, like, it's like you're going downhill, Mat 5, and you're, like, all the way back up, and now you're at the peak. And
yeah.
Like,
someone needs to go. We need to go find that roller coaster image again and add the next part where you go through the loop-de-loop and how much fun that is. Because this is the loop-de-loop.
Yeah. This is Mark 3. There's 3 loops.
Oh, my God. You're right.
Yeah. Nailed it.
Would it have not been as fun if it was just good in Mark 1 or in Mark 2?
No, it would have been worse.
I think it's a good important for things to come.
Yeah.
Like, I thought you meant the roller coaster. Sorry.
It's just nice to see them really like, okay, let's take the gloves off. Let's make a gargantuan that works.
Oh, and the sweet thing is like the combo in with the rate of fire comment from earlier, like the Glacier King or the Mountain King will like charge and get to do its assault. And then if it punches someone, it can get to do another spray. So getting two of those like sweet sprays off. Oh, it's so exciting.
Did kill
assault
shot say?
Shot, kill shot shot.
I'm going to assume assault or kill shot in the new game ignore rate of fire.
No, that's what we're saying. There's no such thing as ignoring rate of fire anymore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, cool. Because rate of fire is just the number of initial attacks.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's not a limit. Like, you can't. Yeah.
Yeah. You can shoot as many times. It's just things have to be able to make you shoot.
Gotcha.
So moving into the realm of inference here, all of the
style.
All of the errata or the errata that the Mountain King received was it gains assault, right?
That is correct.
So I think it's fair to say that a lot of the development work that was being done in the last or on Mark III, so a lot of the development work that we saw at the tail end of Mark II is probably building towards the new edition, such as the errata are probably all going to be reflected in the next expansion, as well as I'm hoping some of the models that were released later on are going to be mostly the same.
Yeah. I'm on the fence.
What are
about
you specifically
that.
Hoping is mostly the same?
Probably.
I'm actually really hoping that Haley 3 comes through mostly the same, because she's been a lot of fun to play with.
Yeah.
She's a really well-designed caster. Pretty powerful, like...
Yeah. She needs a signature thing. Wait, no, she doesn't. Temporal Flux.
What the flux? What
also, the flux? Making time echoes pretty unique.
Yeah.
I think What the Flux should be a shirt. Haley 3.
Yeah, now everything I think about is, what kind of cool shirt can we make?
Yeah,
right?
It's got a problem. Just put a turd on it.
So
talking about other errata, like I'm guessing all the errata around the Siege Animantorax is going to be pretty much what the Siege Animantorax looks like. Because they revealed a much more complete look at the Siege Animantorax. Like, they just showed us Assault for the Mountain King. They're like, how does this make you feel? And we're like, not good enough.
Yeah.
And they're like, how about all this for the Siege Animantorax? And Scorn players were like, okay.
Buy one. That's what the Scorn players, they voted with their checkbooks.
So they may also adjust its points slightly, but I wouldn't be surprised if its rules as they exist now in Mark II are what they are in Mark III. That would not shock me.
What else did they fix in that errata? They fixed whatever the stupid cav of Rhett is called.
Yeah, they gave them quick work.
Yeah.
I think they also made a change to the Archangel, but I would expect more changes similar to what happened to the Mountain King. Like, they're like, here's its slightly improved animus, also all this other stuff.
So you're saying basically Manowar are going to get CRA and CMA, and they're good.
Yeah, perfect.
I don't know about that, Nigel. That doesn't sound good to me.
they will stay exactly as they are now, which means in Mark III they'll be 11 points or whatever.
I can't remember if it was the podcast or on the forums, but they did specifically say that there was some late Mark II errata stuff that was like a test bed for things.
Yeah.
And if that was literally
what if CRA?
Let's get the shock troopers out. Steamy pile.
I kind of worried about that too, Crump. We were talking about Man of War's getting fixed. I'm just like, what if they don't and they just make them cheaper? That's the worst.
Yeah, what if they just
That's a lazy way out.
That'd be kind of cool, though.
If Bombardiers stay 11? 11? Is that the number?
They're 11 points.
If Bombardiers stay 11 points and have the current rule set, they'd probably be good in Mark III.
So you're saying if Bombardiers were 5 points now?
yeah, exactly. Would you not play them for 5?
It'd be pretty legit. Yes, for 11 points in the new edition, I would think. Yeah,
One point apiece.
I've been saying for a long time, I really want them to have the Carapace rule that the Bugs have, the Sentinels have in Scorn.
Yeah.
Because I just think it's so fitting.
Well, not because they don't have carapaces, but
I know
they've got carapaces.
What?
It's like it's carapace armor. It's just made of metal. It's not
okay. Reining it back in.
Yeah, good job, Keith.
So that's my little bit of inference about from what we see here. Like this, the Slayer card sort of tells me that the things that were already that a lot of things are going to be directly translated, and the Mountain King sort of. Based on the errata we see, sort of tells me that the later development is probably a harbinger for what is to come here.
I think you can draw that inference, but you can also draw a different inference, because if we look at Iris next, you notice that she's incredibly, incredibly different.
Yep. But next up is actually the Trenchers.
Right. I mean, sure.
So Trenchers are largely the same. This is a small adjusted unit. All buffs for Trenchers. One nerf. So they kept advanced deployment, they kept assault, they kept CRA, they gained tough, and they picked up a rat, so they're up to rat 6.
They got melee range.
And they are also melee range 1.
So those little bayonets, they just add a little bit of extra. Yeah, gotcha.
Yep.
Back of card, they kept digging. Smoke bombs, this is the one small nerf. No longer thrown within an inch, they are centered.
Now they're ninja and vanish instead of... It's perfect.
Yep, yep. They just, like, they're like, we have these smoke bombs, but all we can do is drop them.
We could basically Batman. Yeah, I'm, just, I'm the knight.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
This is Darkwing Duck.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Ninja vanish!
Yeah.
And they gained a brutal charge.
That's good.
Additionally, their point cost went from, what were they, 6'10 before?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yep.
To the equivalent 10, of 5'8.
Yeah.
So assuming the roughly doubled, 5'8.
Legit.
All good things. They're actually super legit infantry now. Like, super mm-hmm. legit.
Yeah, also, yeah. Tough is a big deal. So just being tough.
How does...
Assuming tough is the same. Which correct. I'm starting to think it really won't be.
I hope, actually, that it changes.
I mean, me too.
But, because they're advanced deploy, so like it just makes them a much better value because they're cheaper and tougher. So, which is yeah. pretty sweet.
No, it all looks good. They still have a lot of the same problems they did before, in that they're not really attacking any of the places where Signar was having trouble. But they are now a viable option. Like you could see yourself being like, am I going to bring trenchers or am I going to bring gun mages?
I think that will mostly actually depend on... Oh, I thought you were going to say some merc model. That will mostly depend on how many of the Signar spells remain friendly faction or how many of them remain friendly.
Sure.
Because, like...
Also, yeah. FAU.
Yeah, and field allowance unlimited, which is... I don't see a list ever spamming out infinity trenchers, but maybe.
This is one of the only things that was sort of gave me pause... in today's spoilers, is I want to, and I think the game is going to be balanced enough that I actually don't have to worry about it. And I don't think it's a legitimate worry, but I don't want to see spammed lists. I don't like spam in general. Actually,
well, only like 2/3 of your list can be the spam because you're forced into
a third of
your list being battle group.
That's a good point. Unless you're spamming something.
Unless you're entirely spamming battle.
You know, like. Bacon and eggs or whatever.
Spam and cheese. Yep.
The unlimited Doom Reavers.
Right.
Everybody gets Mad Dogs of War.
And they count as Warjacks. So
I didn't
use
find
the Warjack
this
points
quote.
On them.
Sorry for talking over. I have a lot to talk about this week, so that's just a general apology. I didn't find the quote myself, but I've heard it repeated to me from enough sources that I'm pretty sure it happened. I think somewhere their quote was that they're not invalidating models. Stance stands. And largely I think that means that any field allowance of a model that you have previously purchased will be fieldable in one list, roughly. I don't know if all 9 units of Doom Reavers are going to go in a...
Maybe they make Doom Reavers FAU.
Maybe so.
Yeah, I mean, problem fixed. Right.
Right.
See, they've already done that, though, with the elemental evolution, right?
What do you mean?
Oh, you used to take 11 lights, and now you only take, like, 6.
But not any of those individual models. Yeah. Even in their, like, even your three slag trolls can all go in a list. Your three.
Yeah, you can still physically take them.
That's true. I don't know why I'm standing up for that stupid list. I hate that
yeah.
list.
So. Yeah.
Get out of
Come on, Chad.
Get out.
Come on.
No. Get with the program.
Cut that out.
So the trenchers are just sort of like, oh, wow. Like, this is another, much like the Mountain King, this is a long maligned model. A unit that we were hoping to see some positive change for, and this is definitely a slew of positive changes.
Well, my only complaint with Trenchers and Mark II, my only complaint with them was just that they were too expensive. And so by reducing their point cost and then also giving them all of these other buffs, it's just like, oh, nice, awesome. They're like actually a super legit unit now. Like,
yeah.
If that unit existed the way that they do like in Mark III, if that unit existed in Mark II, they would have been taken all the time.
They would see some play.
They would have been like a super like staple of the Signar. Like, so anyway, yeah, that's super exciting. Plus, Trench Buster stock is going up, baby.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
One thing I wanted to bring up is with the centered cloud, you can still cloud wall, but you can't do that weird trencher formation where the one cloud blocks the next one.
Yeah, that's correct.
True. Also, I was like wondering, just because... I assume that they're not going to take out things like tactical supremacy, and then with things like reform and reposition becoming so much more prevalent, like, I'm curious whether they're going to keep clouds the same way. Like, I could definitely see them, like, having clouds be like, clouds don't block line of sight anymore, you know?
I think you'll see tax supremacy be repositioned too, and then they can't get out.
Mm-hmm. But then it's like, it's also, but then that's permanently, you know.
It's a hit to IRUSC, I know. We'll suffer it, I think.
Right? Yeah.
All right. Yeah, fair enough. I'm just throwing that out there. Like, I could see clouds getting.
Yeah, but I mean, like, what would they?
Provide concealment.
Reduce rat and or increase your defense. Whatever.
I mean, they just provide concealment
to everybody behind them. That'd be kind of cool.
Or to everyone in them.
Yeah.
And that's it.
So then we can shoot the guys behind them with no penalty.
Well, and they trigger whatever effect, like prowl or whatever, like they trigger effects that require concealment.
I mean, you know? They did make a point of saying that they wanted to reduce negative play experiences in Mark III. Cloud Wall,
it's one of the most negative,
horrible.
Yeah, and that's been around forever.
Yeah,
but it wasn't very prevalent in Mark II.
Until Halley 3.
And
the emergence of Pyroclamers.
Until the resurgence of Pyroclamers, yeah. John.
It's not my fault. There was this guy in England that was playing it.
Oh, blame the Brits.
Yeah, I will.
Anyway.
Typical American.
That's neither here nor there.
He was on their WTC team. It was 100% his fault.
So what about our last card?
Lastly, we see probably the most changed model, Iris. It's technically Iris 2, although she... So the first and least important note here is that the epic word is gone. Never did anything, but the word epic is gone.
No.
Not really notable.
Right.
It's just...
They're going with the Dragon Ball Z rule, so it's just Super Saiyan, Super Saiyan 1, Super yep. Saiyan 2, Super yep. Saiyan 3.
This isn't even my final form.
Yeah, exactly.
Nate was ranting about it because it was something that always bothered him, that it was like a rules term that didn't do anything. It was kind of vestigial from Mark II.
It's also,
Mark One.
I actually like this, that, like one for that reason, because that also kind of bothered me, but because new players, like you always inherently think that epic just means better.
Yeah.
Like Irisk 2 is just objectively better than Irisk 1. He's epic, right? And then... Yeah, I have to actually tell them, though. That's not how that works. So,
unless it's Lich.
So, yeah.
Looking at
yeah, but Lich 3 is not better than Lich 2.
Yeah. But anyway.
But they're both epic.
Looking at Iris, we see a lot of icons on her card. The first thing that jumps out at you is the sheer number of icons. Some of them are new.
Good old
so thing. In addition to the assault, which she did not have before... we see her old ones, which were Advanced Deploy, Pathfinder, Stealth. They're still there. And then we're looking at her weapons. We see some we recognize, like Weapon Master on her melee weapons, which is new. And Magical Weapon, which is on all three of her weapons, which is new for her. We also see this like random group of sparkles and gears that are not on fire,
exploding?
But on something. Exploding gears, maybe?
I think. I viewed it as a star cluster and then a meteorite.
A star cluster
it's
and a
blessed
meteor.
Blessed and disruption.
Yeah.
They are confirmed to be blessed and disruption.
Yeah.
So we now have icons for both of those effects.
Yep. She's 6 points, and
she picked up a mat.
Yep. Which is sweet.
Oh, she wasn't mat 7.
She was not mat 7.
I played Aeris 3 a lot, who is... Yeah,
I think she was mat 6. I mean, maybe she didn't pick
then
up
flip
mat.
That card over, and you see that she's like almost entirely different.
Yep. So she's got repositioned 3 inches. So at the end of her activation, in which it did not run or fail a charge, this model can advance up to 3 inches.
Actually, even before that, partisan retribution is different than the way it used to be worded. It was just a rule called retribution partisan, which was she can now it's partisan with. A qualifier of retribution.
Uh-huh.
So gotcha. There could be partisan other models.
Oh, Boomhowlers.
Like partisan Trollbloods for Boomhowlers or partisan Kador for like Kaiazi Assassins.
Yeah. Pendrake had it too.
No, his was Signar Ally, right?
Yeah. I don't remember.
They had like different. She was the only partisan, right?
Yes.
That could be.
Yeah. There were like different weird, like other, like there were like allies and then there were partisans and then there were, you know, mercs, which were entirely like.
Yeah, why wasn't Aeris just an ally now that I think about that? Good old inconsistencies.
No, yeah.
Thought just about using and then never did.
Yeah, I think that's
because
exactly,
the model was created before the faction, probably.
Yeah that's actually yeah.
Fair enough. Yep.
But so that's, so anyway, I just wanted to throw that there.
Yeah, that's relevant. So reposition three, Spellbreaker. When this model hits another model with an attack, enemy upkeep spells on the model hit expire. A spellcaster can keep its upkeep spells in play by suffering D3 damage points. So this, based on her previous usage for removing upkeep spells, would be an enormous nerf.
Get effed, Iris! Screw you!
I mean, she's gained enough rules that I think it balances it out.
Also, it doesn't. Also, it only triggers on upkeeps. It doesn't, like, you remove animi anymore.
And, yep, enemy upkeep spells only. And yeah, I'm just talking about this rule. I'm not talking about the model as a whole yet.
Yeah.
You know what this made me think of? What if that part where the Warcaster can take D3 to keep the spell? That'd be a really good fix for Purification.
That's what I was just thinking, too. That, like, I wonder if Purification's going to make you take D3 for every spell you want to keep on the board.
Personally,
and just let the other ones fall.
Yeah. There, well, I mean, Doomshaper had a... So there were only three casters in Mark 1 that had Purification. Or there was two, actually, I guess. There was Kreos and Harbinger. And then Doomshaper had a spell that was very similar to Purification, but slightly better, where everything... He dispelled all of the spells, and then everything that... Whatever he dispelled, their Warcaster suffered D3. And I think it also caused Warbeast to make a Frenzy check or something like that.
Warbeast that had spells removed from them, Frenzy check units that had spells removed from them, Command check or Flee. Like, it was a horrifying spell.
It was really good. But those were the only three. So with their talk of... making spells more signature nowadays, I'm wondering if they just drop the number of Purification casters down to one. And then it's a question of, like, who gets it? Because there's, like, what, like six or seven?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Now? And so I doubt it's going to be Kreos.
No, it can't be Kreos.
Might be Harbinger.
I think he
was the first.
It could be. Yeah, he was the first, and Harbinger was the second. But it's also kind of broken on Harbinger for other reasons.
I'm just saying,
20
like,
inches.
Yeah.
The reason why it can't be on Kreos, well,
it's assuming unless, his feet change.
Unless they remove it, unless he changes feet.
Yeah.
But his feet cannot be coupled with Purification because all of the anti-knockdown is literally upkeep spells or animi.
Except the one that's in Menoth, which is hilarious. And
mostly.
Yeah.
But yeah, so anyway, that's just a thought that I had. Like, I'm curious whether, you know, anyway. I could make an argument for Doomshaper being the only one that gets it. Because, so, like, it's kind of broken on Kreos, it's kind of broken on Harbinger, it's, like, actually the best, you know. It's anyway, he's... Whatever.
Now who's got the trickle-down economics?
This guy.
All right.
I like that.
That's
I'm the only
the,
reason always here.
What?
Perfect. So
what am I saying?
Change.
It's out of control.
Go on,
okay, Mana Wars get advanced deployment. There we go. Now I've said something crazy.
So this is the change that I think has caused the most like wild speculation.
Yeah.
Because I was down at the shop today talking about the change to Iris, and it came up like, oh man, if this is the way all upkeep removal is, like Iron Flesh, Arcane Shield, Defender's Ward, none of those can exist anymore. And I was like, I'm not sure. Like, I haven't really thought about it. If all upkeep removal was basically gone. Like, the only time that Iris is ever going to successfully remove a spell is if you've already massively wounded the caster, which has other implications for the game, or if Junior still has Arcane Shield and she assaults a Colossal and, like, hits it with her assault shot, he's like, you want to take D3? He's like, sure, and rolls a 2. Then she hits it with her first weapon. It's like, want to take D3? He's like, yeah, and rolls a 1. Hits it with her third weapon. Want to take D3?
That point actually makes me want to make the case for Harbinger, because if she's martyring,
then
if you do the Purification, she's not going to want to take that.
That is a good point. That is a really good point.
I
actually
think martyring is just going to be 86.
But she's the one purifying.
That's true.
But yeah, well, he's saying, like, if you martyr,
that's the counter.
Yeah. Because she won't, it won't be as bad on her, because then she'll have something else that's...
Oh, no. It could just be, like, purifying requires her to take D3 damage for every spell that gets knocked off or something.
Well, she has to take the damage.
All right, we're getting into wild... Mm-hmm. This is, like,
that's
the problem.
That's the fun stuff, Chad!
Yeah,
you got two Miami people on here. Wild speculation is kind of what we're going to do.
True.
Yeah.
So,
anyway. Certainly not going to have a coherent discussion.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
Shots fired. All right.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
So yeah, that it does raise some interesting implications regarding defensive upkeep spells, since she was the most prolific means of removing them, and now that is not the case.
She's also got Purgation on her crossbow now, though.
Yep. So two other rules that she gained. The crossbow has Purgation, which is an additional die of attack and damage rolls with this weapon against models with an enemy upkeep spell.
Yeah.
I believe she also has Blessed.
She does.
Yep. Yeah, all of her weapons are blessed.
That is, by the way, that is a change to Purgation. In Mark II, it is only models with upkeeps on them. It does not include Animi.
Oh. Okay.
That's
enemy
above.
Upkeep spell or Animus. Wow. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Enjoy your tenacity, Rube.
I actually really hope they change blessed so that it says spells and animi, because that's one.
And
thing
her being a blessed weapon master, if she gets to your caster when you have like a defensive debuff on there, she's like, I'm at 7, 3 dice to hit, 5 dice damage on the charge, 4 dice damage on not the charge.
Oh my god!
No, she's
your choice. If you want to keep that upkeep spell,
I think she's just awesome. Anyways, like if she charges a Stormwall, and let's say that Striker has Arcane Shield on it, so let's say I'm playing Kador,
right.
I've got Battlelusted IFP in the hopper. They're ready to go.
Yeah.
She goes in there first. Striker has to basically eat 3d3 damage in order for that Arcane Shield to make it to the IFP, which isn't exciting for him, because now he's a behemoth shot away from getting aced. You know?
Yeah,
right.
Like, I don't know. I think it's pretty badass. There's going to be like a lot of great choices she's going
to
force
people. Yeah, you're going to have to make some, and that's actually going to give you something to do when it's not your turn. Like, you're going to have to make those strategic options while they're going, which will keep you much more engaged in the game instead of...
No, she's a really badass option now, too. Right. Like, plus, like, we haven't even gotten to her last rule.
Yeah. One more rule.
Go.
Witch Hunter. When an enemy model declares it is casting a spell while within 10 inches of this model can immediately make a basic attack, which is a new term, targeting the enemy spellcaster. If the spellcaster is destroyed as the result of this attack, the spell does not take effect.
That's also a bomb.
So she like sits in the middle of a bunch of druids and she's just like, I dare you! I freaking dare you!
Yeah.
Try!
First time a unit of
and
druids
like,
rolls up
can't...
and they're like, we all cast clouds. I'm like, hold on. roll dice. In fact, they're all dead.
There's too many of us. You can't take us all out.
You can't kill us all. She's like, try me!
She loads up the crossbow with like a giant clip, banana
Yeah, how's
clip.
That even work? That makes no sense.
A banana clip on
bolts. Yeah, it just like just holds the button down and just starts spraying.
Oh my god, perfect.
Her and Harlan Verse are going to be best buds.
Are they?
They're just going to show up in the middle of the table like, are we both here for the same reason? Yep.
Yeah, they're just going to walk slowly to the midline, look at each other, nod, and then just go to town.
But Butcher 3 is now like, instead of like, can't cast his spells, he's just like, dies if he does. He's just like, Energizer!
Or so, Ron, think about Ron with mittens.
My favorite to think about was Flashing Blade.
Oh.
You just be like, I'm going to...
Oh, no.
That's not near as cool.
Yeah, Butcher 3 is going to have to think twice about doing that.
This is also actually a buff to Witch Hunter as well. I know, because it's on the stupid big shrimp that's in Circle. It now stops the spell from being cast if you kill the guy. Previously, it didn't. Like, the spell goes off, which makes a lot more sense fluff-wise, right? So, I'm this person that's going to suppress magic. Like, my goal is to kill the dude before he casts the spell.
Yeah.
So
the mage is like, I'm a charging my laser. Ah!
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I like to think of it as, they like start doing their little hand motions and they're like, whoa, and she's just like, stop it.
So going back to the front of her card, we do see that half-inch melee range still exists. The range on her bayonet and saber is 0.5. And looking at the model overall, I think they've done a great job in sort of fulfilling the fluff of the Mage Hunter. You're like, man, she really hates people that cast magic. You can tell because of her card.
Read all her spells and abilities. It's all about
and
murdering.
She will kill you.
Yeah.
We also did point out
for messing around with the magic.
Unless we don't know the rules for disruption yet, but she doesn't strip focus.
Yeah.
So we don't know.
She also doesn't deny allocation.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is going to be great for positioning purposes.
Yeah. She lost the technological interference, and based on the fact that they've given her assault, which she had in Mark 1 back, I would be hugely surprised if disruption affected Warcasters.
Yeah. We'll see.
Well, I can't imagine disruption as a game term affecting Warcasters.
Right. That has a whole other group of terrible implications for Signar assassinating you every time you get on the table.
They just remove disruption from everything then? Like, if every time I get shot by a stupid Stormcaller, my caster loses all his focus, I...
Yeah,
fluff wise, it'd be sweet if it worked just against convergence casters because they're robotic. You know, it just goes in and short circuits everything.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Iris stripping focus was somewhat fluffy, but I think it was too powerful of an effect to have on a model to allow for
this is only
some
Iris.
Reason.
I have
for
a
some
theory.
Reason to balance.
This is only Iris 2. Remember,
yeah,
Iris 1 could still,
could
do,
still
that.
Do that.
Iris 1 might still do it. Iris 1 might still do that. That's fair. That's fair.
Which would give them very unique roles.
Yeah.
I love the changes to this model. Like, she doesn't do what she used to do. She's out of that role. She's much more of a combat piece now. But, man, does she do it with style.
I want to play it because that, you know, in certain situations that reposition, you're going to be so tempted to be like, do I go backwards and play it safe? Or do I go forwards and make it really hard on you to cast anything?
Yeah.
You know, like...
Plus, you could pre-measure. You know, and my three-inch reposition going to put me within 10 inches of your caster? I can check, and you don't have to guess. You know, and you're going to be able to make that call.
Extrapolation time. This probably means a lot for Throg, right? If Throg's got like 1 to 2 inch reach across the board, and he's doing 3d3 damage himself.
I have no hope for the Throg.
You don't have any hope for the Throg.
I have no hope
have
for
hope.
The Throg.
Throg could be 4 points or 5 points, and have three attacks that do d3 damage,
and then you bring three Throgs.
Yeah, Throgs could be legit.
Okay,
you just kill casters.
We'll see.
Just backlash casters to that.
So we'll see.
If they made
traditionally the Throg versus Iris comparison has been a really good one.
Yeah, but maybe the Throg now just still removes upkeeps. Maybe he still does.
It's a whole new addition. Anything could happen. It's the sky's the limit.
So
everything's coming up Throg.
Could be. I have a really interesting line of thoughts. So they're trying to reduce negative play experiences. And they're reducing, like, upkeep removal, clearly, right? I'm extrapolating right now.
At least in the form where every faction gets to take it for 3 points.
Right.
Right. What if they reduce the amount or the severity of debuffs? Maybe crippling grasp is just gone.
I had an interesting thought on something I'd like to see change that kind of fixes that problem in Mark III, which is one of the things that's always bothered me about this game is... your warlocks and warcasters have control areas, which is supposed to be a physical manifestation of their, you know, their magical prowess, right? Eventually, they can't do magic at a certain distance.
How far they can extend their magical senses and reach.
And so I've always thought it was kind of counterintuitive based on, like, that you can upkeep spells outside of your control area.
You're confusing two things, in my opinion. The range of a spell has almost nothing to do with people's control areas. Guess what? Arcane Bolt, always 10 inches.
He's saying that you should be able to upkeep within your control as opposed to...
I understand what he's saying, but your control range literally has nothing to do with how far spells go.
It influences how far you can spend focus by allocating.
He means in the fluff. Like, yeah. It doesn't make sense for the caster to be able to keep it going.
I understand exactly what you're saying. All I'm saying is focus allocation is... not casting spells. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
It doesn't play out that way. Like, Kane can Thunderstrike people or whatever from, you know, 17 inches away or whatever, like 13 inches, and he's only got a 12-inch control radius.
Yeah, control area has just never been tied to magical ability. It's just...
Well, I think the point is that it never has been doesn't mean anything. Like it's.
I mean, it's true. It could be, but I'm just saying.
Upkeep's not casting, so it's not like.
It's not like he's trying to say
that like Arcane Bolt needs to be your control radius and range.
Right.
He's saying that it just, you know, the upkeep itself.
It's like I'm this just, model that's on the other side of the planet.
I'm just.
I can still keep like Arcane Shield on it for some
reason.
Because
you put it on it in the range first. Right. You can then dedicate a certain amount of magic for upkeeping it. Like if you think about it from a Dungeons & Dragons standpoint basically like create a concentration check to keep that going. And you can have multiple concentration checks going. And that spell effect can leave that area of effect.
Yeah.
Because it's centered on the model that you cast the magic on. And then you just invest it to stay there.
It's fairly well established in like in role playing games that this is like a thing that. Yeah.
Okay.
So I think they were just trying to follow that. Well, I think they were trying to follow that from an idea of it maybe being an RPG because it was Iron Kingdoms was kind of set up as the Dungeons & Dragons setting for a while. They had that little the Witchfire trilogy was a D&D module, so they wanted to kind of keep it somewhat in that range. But
yeah, I don't know.
But it would make juniors very difficult to play, though. If they did that.
I can't upkeep more than like 3 inches away. The jack goes away, and then you're just like, I can't keep that spell going.
I was expecting Junior to probably not have Arcane Shield in Mark III, which would be a blessing for Signar design, actually.
Yeah, they'll have Snipe and Deadeye.
No, he will not.
Oh, my God.
Actually, I think if they change him, they'll give him a battle group spell like they did all the other juniors. So instead of Defender's Ward, they gave Fortify. To the Menoth one. They gave Sidekick to Jake's. One.
But back to the reason I was bringing up this point is like, I was like, well, okay, so if they implement some sort of rule like that, it sort of, in a way, fixes like offensive upkeeps like Crippling Grasp, because if you Crippling Grasp, cast Parasite on this model, right, you could just take that model that got Parasited and just walk it outside of their control area. So then your offensive spell is not worthless because you forced a model back like 6 inches or, you know, however much distance, which is valuable. Yeah. Or, you know, it gets
sort of makes like arc nodes weird, though.
Mm-hmm.
As in, like, why bother?
Yeah.
I mean, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not a terrible train. I mean, I've actually had similar thoughts. I just had to think through it.
Yeah, and that wouldn't fix the negative game experience, because you just back up and then they move forward, cast it again, and then all of a sudden all you're doing all game is backing up, trying to get out of it.
Yeah, and then you've lost on some, like...
Well, yeah, but... Yeah.
So he's saying your fix doesn't actually fix anything.
That's fine.
So, sorry.
I get what you're saying.
Mark 3.
Mark 3. This is why... No, never mind.
We really need like the rule book in front of us to have a really like 6-hour podcast pouring through this book.
I feel like every week from here on out, it's just basically going to be like,
let's splooge. Just talk about Guild Ball.
It's just going to be like splooge after splooge after splooge.
I mean, tomorrow they're dropping a podcast, which is going to have new stuff.
It's a podcast. It's three puns.
He just podcasts.
Podcast. It rolls right off the tongue. Not that hard. We're also. We've been advertised that tomorrow we're getting the insider about Theme Forces. So big bombs.
All gone.
I don't want to know. We gotta, I hope it's that. I hope we open it and it's just that many words and that's it.
They're all done. You're welcome, everybody.
Well, that was another conversation that came up at the shop tonight, and a good point was made that pretty irrefutably made me believe that we're not getting rid of Theme Forces and that think of how much money they make.
Yeah, I think we all knew that.
Yeah, absolutely. That,
by the way, is why I thought everything went to FAU. Like a part of me.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, FAU Trenchers. Like, this is cool, FAU stuff. And I was like, part of me thinks that's just money driven, but, you know.
Meh. It's their game. They can do what they want with it.
It's true.
Very true.
I think, you might see, like, there's some things that are so stupidly arbitrary in Mark II. Like a Colden Lord is FA1. It's just so dumb. So, I mean, just the change, I feel like there's a lot more FAU, FA2+. Plus. I don't know. It's probably fine. Like,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I can't wait till burrowers are FA2.
You shut your mouth.
That's fine, because they're not going to burrow anymore.
Yeah. They
could.
No, they still have to dig for some sort of way.
They're
gonna
have
not going to re-sculpt
in.
The model.
They're going to ambush via the token,
the
which is going to deep-strike.
That's it. John just nailed it. You are screwed.
No. They've just always... Burrowed.
It's just good
they'll
digging.
Still burrow.
They'll burrow into fine. Their trench, and then they'll be
shut
dug in.
Up. You shut your mouth.
For some reason, John's saying this makes me think PP's going to actually do it.
No, everything that burrowed will still burrow, for sure.
Yes.
Guys, you're monsters.
I think burrowing is going to change to it's just ambush, and then you put the token where you want it, and then you come out just the way you normally would.
Ambush, but you can place the token anywhere.
Yeah, you just place
anywhere
the token
anywhere.
Yeah. That would be awesome.
Yeah. No.
But you can't go back in the ground, so you only get to do it once, but it's just an ambush.
I mean, that would be so OP.
But just anywhere on the table.
Ambush? Anywhere on the table.
It's Age of Signar, everybody.
Age of Signar.
Well, six more years.
Only,
only if you have a longer beard than your opponent.
And if they did that, nerfing burrowers, then it would make sense for them to make them FA2 or FAU, right?
Oh
exactly,
because
it's a huge nerf.
Yeah, did that. It's a huge nerf.
We're done. I'm done.
Channel Fireball, go!
There's just little periscopes like everywhere.
Nope, not yet.
not yet.
Uh,
I think that's perfect.
That was good. That was good callback.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Oh, boy.
I'm so excited for Mark III. I mean, just seeing Eris's card has got me thinking about all kinds of, like, stupid, weird situations, which is what I love about War Machine.
I literally saw her card, and I was like, I am never taking her ever again. And then I, like, an hour later, I'm like, oh, God, I kind of want two.
I give him a card stat would just make you flip like that.
Mm-hmm. No, that's Nigel in a nutshell.
Yeah, I think it is. Just
I just saw she didn't take upkeeps and she didn't strip focus. I'm like, worthless. And then I thought about it, like,
Trench Busters for life.
So you're like Jeremy Shea, but then you kind of turn your mind around and decide that it's not hot garbage and that you can actually use it.
That she's a weapon master, sneaky good, plus purgation, plus all the other. She's actually a high damage output.
Blast and assault again. Yeah.
She'll take a chunk out of a
Stormwall's activation
puddle.
Shots.
Yeah. Just like running her into the middle of a bunch of druids has got to be the most hilarious.
Yeah,
thing.
Shut up.
Or mages or battle mages.
Yeah. Turnian cav. Yeah. Like it's a huge.
I mean, she doesn't even have
cav.
To run that close to the druids. She can just hang out like 10 or 12 inches in front of, or like 10 inches in front of where they want to be.
Yeah, so you have to be careful with the battle mages because like they could always just charge her, and like then you're like, ooh.
No. You just park her like. 14 inches in front of them. So they're like, you want to come forward, bro?
How many people are going to sculpt their iris to be like mooning, you know, or like, or like flipping off or like, you know,
oh man,
like, yeah.
I need to buy another one to do that.
Yeah.
I really hope that they make blessed in the new edition, ignore animi as well as spells. I really want that.
What if there are no defensive animi?
I doubt that would happen. Mostly because of the rule on purgation in the new one says animi. So it doesn't really make sense for offensive animi to
be ignored.
Exist. Yeah. That.
I mean,
why would you care if you ignored?
There's so few offensive animi anyway. It's...
No, I think he meant more like adding to the stats is what Chad, right. I think meant. But I don't know.
Yeah, like tenacity and
spiny growth
and that's pretty well, elemental communion. And...
That one's going away.
Could
it's worse now that wreck markers don't exist.
Yeah, it is actually.
Yeah, that's actually
get wrecked.
I'm so happy about that change, the wreck marker change.
Shut up, God, super Menoth.
the Menoth parking lot is a problem, which is actually good because now we don't have to deal with John like worrying about Pathfinder so much. Like,
yeah, now, right. Yeah. Now when he would have the yeah, great
hiding from the avatar behind a reckoner's corpse. Was one of the most fun things.
It depends which side of the table you're on.
So do you think Redeemers are going to have Rate of Fire 3 or Reload 3?
Reload.
I think the... I'm biting my tongue saying this, but...
God, I was trying to bait you so hard.
No, yeah. I honestly think that the Choir will probably change their buff to melee only in some way.
Yeah, and that, I hope so.
And that Protectorate gun damage will go up in general.
To make up for the difference.
To make up for the difference. Yeah. But not their rat. So it'll bring them in more in line with all the other ranged factions.
Well, they won't be better at shooting than Signar and Rat, which is like patently absurd if you think about the way the fluff is set up.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're holy, bro.
Well, yeah, all the guns are blessed now.
I'm just saying...
That could actually be a thing that would be kind
sure.
of fluffy.
I also think it's that tough. I'm not sure that it'll add to... Like, I think it might just be something simple, kind of like Arcanus do in...
Rhett,
which is +2 to melee damage, right? And then maybe they'll give the Choir some other good, useful abilities, like Pathfinder. So you'd have an opportunity cost, but it wouldn't be a huge opportunity cost. So... Menoth Jack still perform like a regular Jack. They might do 2 less damage, but that may not be that's not like the end of the world. Then you could put Pathfinder on the Choir and it wouldn't break anything. And then you would have an opportunity cost for it and you could still like shoot your gun and it would be like a Rat 5 gun like everyone else with a decent POW. And you wouldn't be so strapped to this Choir all the time. You could play battle box games, you could like it would open up Protectorate quite a bit.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know. It's hard to say.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to say and agree with that because, like...
There's so many variables that we don't know?
Well, no, it's more that, like, current Menoth Jacks are, like, cheaper than the comparative factions.
Right, and they could always change the point costs to make that, to fix that.
Yeah. Are they cheaper?
They are. Like everything in Kador, everything in Kador that matters is like 10 points or more, and then in Signar, it's like 9 or more, and then the Jacks that you see in Menoth are usually 8 with the occasional 9. But like Vanquishers are 8, Reckoners are 8, Templars are 8.
Yes, yeah. Eight is the most popular amount. Yeah, right. They're 8, 9, and 10 for Protector Jacks.
In Signar, the average is probably like, well, if Stormwall didn't exist, it would be 9 or higher.
I mean, for the Jacks that are taken, that's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, there are, Centurion is 9?
9. Stormclads are 10. That's pretty much the only heavy.
Hammersmiths are 8.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a reason we don't see
that. Yeah, I used to play one with E. Nemo, and he was amazing.
Yeah.
I still love that to this day, the book... like card entry for the Hammersmith has one of the hammers as a ranged attack. Like I still just want that to be a thing in Mark III. Nemo could make it and have Thor Hammersmith where he literally throws it and it comes back with a giant magnetic light.
Yeah, just whoa.
Yeah, exactly.
Now I really want a named Hammersmith named Thor.
Yeah, that
throws a hammer.
Yeah.
Do they have a character named Thor already?
Then there'd be weird to be Thorn and Thor, and then there's Thor Steinhammer.
So Thor and Steinhammer. It's getting weird.
Yeah. I mean, Thor Steinhammer doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm. Wild speculation time. What's going to happen to Tune-Up?
It's going to turn into Bone-Up.
Bone-Up.
What?
Range 5.5.
I think Tune-Up's just going to be friendly model.
No.
Yep. All right. And good night, everybody.
That is pretty much all for this week. I mean, we are in deep speculation mode, so this could go on for a while. But again, I'm going to rein it in. Rain it in.
You guys are such
You're
fun
doing
haters.
God's work, Keith.
We're bringing Miami back.
Yeah, I know.
Wild speculation.
We need like a 4-hour Miami podcast just going over all of the stuff we could possibly think
Colin
of.
Colin would
game.
Love it.
Just to hear him say, this is going to have to be a new rule.
You have to make that.
Would you not love it?
I would love it.
I would love that. Yeah. Colin's exuberance is so funny because he's been on like the Haterade for War Machine for a little while now.
I have to admit, and that's actually a good segue. I do have to say one thing. I was very happy to be on the podcast tonight because when I was listening to the last couple weeks' episodes, Colin's excitement and everybody else's excitement about Mark III, along with my own, was very infectious. Like I haven't been that interested in War Machine for a while either. Obviously, I've been drinking the Guild Ball Kool-Aid.
Good. Death to Guild Ball.
You take that back.
We, as ambassadors for War Machine,
right?
We're cool with all minis games.
Yes.
Whatever you want to play.
I would hope that would be the idea. But
except 40K.
That's true.
I agree.
That's actually kind of true. And I'm still going to be playing Guild Ball, but the Mark III announcements and the podcasts and everything we guys have been talking about has just been like, oh, man, how am I going to split my time? Like, I'm going to have to do it. It's just a matter of how it's going to work out.
But when Mark III happens, I expect for all of us to, even though we own a lot of these models, buy the new battle boxes, come to the shop, get utterly trashed, and just, like, sling battle boxes against one another.
I'm down for that all day.
Because I don't think I could play a battle box sober. Even with new rules. But it sounds really fun.
Yeah, I think it's going to be cool.
To be intoxicated and do that.
Well, it does sound like the battle boxes are going to be better balanced than ever, which is a really good move on their part to make the introductory experience to the game a little better than it was before. Which
to make it not Kreos, not Tenegra, not Sorsha.
And then poor Striker. Like, oh, God, how did I get here?
What am I doing? What's going on? Earthquake?
All of the Horde scouts.
Yeah, and then you had, like, Madrak, who, like, literally doesn't have a feat in the battle box, which is not the feeling that you want to impart on a new player.
Occasionally you could kill a Shredder and be like, yeah, free attack! Oh, such a sweet feat.
Yeah, you got, like, Madrak and P. Lilith cowering in a corner while Morgul just like does terrible things to them.
Yeah.
So, it's a good thing because all the battle box casters are now like battle group centric casters is how they've been billed. Also, all of the battle boxes are now like zeroed out. They're exactly 0 points. Yep. So theoretically much more balanced than we've seen them in the past.
Yeah, right.
That's awesome to see.
I just wanted to kind of voice my excitement for this and that I really want to be, if we're not going to create Miami again,
we're
bringing Miami back.
We're bringing it back.
We're announcing that here right now, exclusive scoop.
Yeah, well, I mean, we were always bringing it back.
Well, we always said it, but it didn't necessarily mean anything. Now that we put it out there, people are going to make us do
they can't make me do anything.
That's true.
Unless you cut this out. Which
I might be able to control of.
We'll, okay. we'll do
I mean,
Miami.
But I mean, I really want to get that Mark III book, and I'm actually kind of avoiding spoilers a little bit. I want to know the trends of where it's going, and so this tonight was very interesting because I look at the insiders, I'm like, oh, I'm kind of seeing the cards, but I wasn't diving into the dojo on it because I want to have that book in my hands so that I'm not making the speculation that we did all night tonight.
But like, it's so fun.
It is. Don't get me wrong, it is. But I want to know what that rule is before I can really wrap my head around what these models do. But the idea that it is new, it's going to be fresh, we're going to be able to play models that I haven't really been able to play before. I want to do the Man of War 2, Nigel. Mm-hmm. I really do want to play the Man of Wars. The demo core for me were exciting for when I was getting into Kador. And then when I tried them so many times and I couldn't get them to work, I was just like, oh, that's disappointing.
Yeah.
So I'm really hoping they do make them somehow better in the way that they made Trenchers better or whatever they need to
All of you guys are realists when it comes to War Machine spoilers. You got to be like Colin. You got to be a romantic. Like, it's so much more
there.
Fun.
I might
like,
get
I'm
there.
A realist in life, and then so, like,
you clearly
this game,
weren't hearing me talking about Strength of Granite earlier.
Yeah, Chet, okay. That's irrealist. That's not a. That's what you were. What?
Have you heard about our RuneShaper castle?
God, stop it! Jesus Christ.
All right, wrap it. Yeah, thank you anyway for having me on. I appreciate it.
By the way, you were talking about drinking the Kool-Aid, and I just wanted to point out, are you drinking Surge?
Hell yeah, I am.
Is this 1995?
We went back in time.
Where did you find it? Did you buy it on eBay? Surge.
No, they make it now.
They make it now. Yeah. It's actually available at like Come and Go's and everything. Oh, I have it in my hometown. I bought like 3 cans.
That's amazing. I love that they kept all the same marketing.
It looks exactly the same. They did not change it in any way, shape, or
came
form.
It straight out of the 90s.
It looks kind of dated, actually.
You
it's
know,
kind of interesting.
It is. It's extreme to the max in like, the 90s. Way,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, with just an X.
Yeah, just a big X. Like, this is, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You no, think it's on ESPN.
Been, I haven't been gone from Iowa that terribly long, but I did forget about Come and Go, and hearing it said out loud is a little jarring.
Isn't
yeah,
it?
Absolutely.
They have shirts now, Keith. We'll bring you one.
Oh, my God.
You got to wear it around town and have people look at you weird because they don't know what it is. Or you can go to Minnesota where they have pumpin' munches.
Oh, that's even...
I just want to say, yeah, too.
That's a thing?
Because you hear that there's stories
It's a thing, right?
You hear that there's a store named Come and Go and you're like, oh, that doesn't sound that bad. And then you realize, but then you don't know that it's spelled K-U-M.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why? Why? Yeah.
Why? That is not C-O-M-E ampersand go. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Cool.
Yeah.
They're a letter away from being the Cards Against Humanity choice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, Pump and Munch is totally a thing.
Yeah, sure. I love the Pump and Munch.
That's such
don't know who cleared that. That's nuts.
Is that,
yeah.
is that like
nuts.
You? It's like intercourse followed by.
That's the joke.
I guess.
Perfect.
That is
it's
the
also,
joke.
It rolls
that
off way better joke. Than coming
out. Oh, I have a quick. I have a really quick announcement. Shirts just went up for sale. We did Kadorable shirts, and we talked about
them. I'm so
excited. But they're up on the store now, and we're only selling them for a week because we have to put our order in. So this is like a pre-order, and we're ordering enough for the con, and then we probably won't do them again. Like, we may do a different shirt.
For reasons.
And if you're a big boy, we're going to call him and find out if we can get bigger than, what, 3X?
2X is the biggest we have right
2X
now.
2X is biggest.
But I have a call-in.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're trying to source a larger version.
Yeah.
They look incredible.
Yeah, really well done. Who designed those?
Pear on our forums. He's the one that did the fat iris. And then
nice.
Little Kim Jong.
Kim Jong-un.
Yes.
The symbol right for the con.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he's actually a very talented illustrator. So thank you. Thank you, Pear. We really appreciate it. Great work.
Like, fantastic.
Oh, my gosh.
I loved the
behemoth is the best.
I loved the butcher, but the behemoth is so... It's just incredible.
And you can hear Sorsha doing the, like, never-ending story.
Yeah.
As she's riding in. Oh, it's so perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
I got a very Calvin and Hobbes vibe.
I did, too.
Yeah.
Like, we're going on an adventure. Pal 14.
They're truly adorable.
Yeah.
They are adorable. They are adorable. Yeah. Some people have asked us, like, why 2 Cotter shirts? We were going to do one, all right? And then Pear was like, well... I have these 2 ideas, and he sent me 2 sketches, and I'm like, which one do we do? And everybody was like, I don't know.
Both.
Why not both?
And we're like, well, we'll just do both.
Yeah.
Because we couldn't. It's like choosing your favorite child. You just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So.
What?
Crump is totally going to be able to do it when he has some.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Be like, it's you. The only child I've ever had.
And the best part is we have that recorded now, so we can make you make that decision later.
Oh, awkward.
Thank you for tuning in to episode 263. Never mind.
What's up? Well, you gotta. All right, so we're selling shirts at the con. Buy them and then come to our con.
Oh yeah, MuseCon. That's happening.
Yeah,
May 13th, 14th, and 15th.
There are so many sweet things happening in War Machine. We should probably talk about those, but it's also mentioned the con that we're sort of running, kind of.
Yeah, come give out or take out Mark II with a bang. Like, we're gonna have a good time.
Come
yeah.
and go to MomCon.
Yeah. And then pump and munch your way out.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Why is that not
perfect?
That's why is that not like the shirt?
Yeah.
I do feel like we need a come and go and pump and munch shirt.
Oh my god.
Good old yeah.
Pump and
munch. Also anyway, copyrighted. Just want to throw that out there. Yeah.
come to MomCon. It's May 13th through the 15th here in Des Moines. It's gonna be sweet. Tickets are available online at museonstore.com, and we have Guild Ball, War Machine, X-Wing,
all
like
of
everything,
the games.
All the things.
Infinity.
All the
painting competitions.
We released new Infinity tokens, too. Probably should mention that.
Yeah.
Stupid insiders getting us too excited for getting all
that.
Yeah.
For once, we're too excited about War Machine
to talk
about other things.
I know. We're so excited about War Machine. We didn't talk about movies or, you know.
Man, that's the whole point of me being here.
This hasn't happened in like 2 years.
Right, so I think that's a good sign.
It's a good thing.
It is. Yeah.
Undiscovered country ahead. I'm excited for it. Oh my god, the dojo is going to be so much fun.
It's going to be clean and sparkly. It's going to be brand new.
Yep.
It's going to be so much dojo.
Also, battle reports might actually be fun.
No.
whoa!
Yeah, let's not go too.
Last week I did tease the my 4-turn tournament. And I didn't.
Oh,
talk.
Yeah.
Do you want to tease it again?
God, we forgot everything.
Tune in next week to find out how I won a tournament 4 turns.
I mean,
assuming there aren't infinite new spoilers.
There will be. We got a PP cast.
I don't think you ever talked about your Irish Masters games either, so.
If you want to do that quick, Keith, I'm okay with it. I don't know.
I'm not. I mean, I guess.
Yeah, I don't have. I don't
All
have
right. Next week.
Not this week. Next week.
Next week.
For sure next week.
Next week, 39% chance that happens. Yeah,
that's
maybe
that's
more
a good
like
estimate. That's
more
a good
like
estimate.
More like 17%.
17%.
They're adjusting like 4%. Like
4, yeah.
Yeah.
But I did win a tournament in 4 turns and it was amazing.
Okay.
God damn. It was a 1-round tournament. Spoiler. All right.
Six more years.
All right. Was that it?
Thanks for tuning in to episode 263
nailed it.
Of Muse on Minis. This has been Chad.
Keith.
Lance.
John.
Crump.
Nigel.
Out.
You're the best.
Around.
Nothing's ever gonna keep you down. Thank you.
No, we are now.
I don't think you could have the coming in two hot wings because then like Tyler Durden would be your spokesperson and it could be confusing. That's all.
Yeah.
Wait. That's true. I don't get that either.
I 100%
I got it.
It.
Yeah. Right. I just had to think about and process what he was saying for a second.
No, Keith. Yeah, I was just reading an article about that. Those are apparently very popular nowadays. So it's like, yeah, it's a because the thing is like. Board games sales are like up by like 1 billion% or something like that. Like
yeah.
Roughly, give or take.
Mm-hmm.
So give or and, take 1 billion?
Give or take.
And every week, well, at our, because we don't have Mayhem here, so they actually close. And there's always like a group of people sort of milling around like, we don't want to go home yet. So a place to go until 2 a.m. seems like
yeah.
a thing that would do well.
I think that would work.
You yeah. definitely have to figure your beer out though, because you're not going to, like, you don't make money on board games.
We wouldn't even have retail.
Right, yeah. You just have like the games like available for people to peruse and
yeah.
use.
Yeah.
And bring mostly a bring your own type yep. of thing.
There's
maybe a small board game library.
So
the only retail we were thinking about is maybe carrying enough of like the current Magic packs to do drafts and stuff.
That's not a bad idea.
Magic is just random money that people will give you.
Generally, yeah.
If you go to Seattle again this year, check out Mox, because that's basically what they do.
Yeah, I've been there.
I got a picture of Keith in it.
Right, that's true. I was there.
The thing about the Magic the Gathering packs is if you do it, it can't ever be sanctioned through the DCI. So
because of alcohol?
They do not allow alcohol at their events.
Oh, okay. So they wouldn't be legit drafts. They would just be drafts.
Yeah, which, I mean, people would probably come do anyway. So.
Yeah.
I mean, if the point is to play games and get drunk. Like...
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I mean, usually the point is that you just play games. But.
And that's even better because then we don't have like none of the game stores will have any animosity towards us at all.
Right.
Right. Oh, Keith, there's one other flaw to your plan.
What's that?
We were actually just talking about this with the Asgard getting a bar and like nerd rage and drunken fighting. I've seen two nerd fights in my entire life at a store where they like literally rumbled. Both were magic.
Were they hilarious?
They were both hilarious because there's. Crack of Man was shown. And,
oh, God.
Yeah, because, like, once two big guys get going, it's just crack immediately.
Right.
And then...
one person's sweatpants are going to be on around the knees.
Yeah,
least.
Yeah, yeah. Those fanny packs... the fanny packs can't hold them up. It's not...
Oh, my God.
Okay. But you put alcohol in that magic mix, that's volatile, dude. You're asking for trouble, is what I'm saying.
I just want to see a nerd get thrown through a bar window, like in the
yeah,
old
it just
days.
Sounds
like a Wild West movie.
Mm-hmm.
All I'm hearing is install high definition CCTV.
Yeah,
behind safety glass.
Yeah,
and then you do like a best of album as.
And then we also will have a best selling YouTube channel,
right?
Or whatever. There,
God, right. you can run like daily specials for like different. So like a different game every week that's a daily special, and then you come up with some stupid drinking game for it.
Ideally, if we have based on some of the different venues that we've taken a look at or locations that we'd have a look, we might potentially have enough space to run like pretty good sized tournaments too.
So, and then you could like talk to Josh and get him to like brew Confluence like sweet beers for you.
Oh my God!
Now they all have to be Des Moines names.
I like it. I like the idea.
Yeah.
So we're looking at. We're looking at it.
I'd buy a beer there. Probably just one.
You wouldn't play any games.
Otherwise, I'd nerd fight with somebody and
insta crack.
I'm just imagining like Marshall like behind the bar like doing the bartender like mm-hmm. wiping down the
just keeps like, rubbing a glass.
Yeah,
no matter
glass.
What.
Yeah,
he's got a towel in. Kind of have to.
Oh my God, you could live the Dungeons and Dragons dream where you walk. You actually go into a bar and get in a bar fight with your
right?
buddies.
It just happens.
It just kind of has
exactly.
to.
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
Oh my God.
So you have to have like LARP night so you can actually get in a fight with like.
Nope.
No.
Yeah. No LARPing in my. I would have a sign on the door. No LARPing in my bar.
Keith, I think you're giving up a pretty big client base.
Yeah, you have a built-in tavern to start every Dungeons & Dragons game ever.
Hold on. Let me confer with the bar manager. Marshall. Okay. Feel about LARPing in the bar. Marshall will kill them.
Well, that sounds good too. You're going to have that CC channel up and the YouTube thing, so.
Just Marshall beating Larbrus to death at the table.
Oh, my God.
A million hits easy in a weekend. Yeah, that would
just
go viral.
Like, it's just Marshall sitting there, like, coaxing the inside of the glass with the
are
top.
Are those fake Elvirs? And then mother, and it jumps
and
the
and someone in the corner is just like, fireball! And then Marshall takes the glass and throws it right at their head and just cracks their skull.
No, he just reaches under the bar and picks up his shotgun.
Oh, yeah. Right, because we're Wild Westing them.
That's good.
Perfect.
Okay. I have a MomCon question.
Oh, okay. He picks up the shotgun and cocks it. Roll initiative!
Will our Guild Ball tournament be on tiebreak or the ranking site Black Orifice?
Tiebreak.
Tiebreak. Okay.
He just wanted to say Black Orifice on the podcast.
I think so.
God damn it.
It was a message I got
never
sent.
Heard of that
I don't know why
one.
It got sent to me.
I think that guy sent all of us because I was like,
I didn't get it.
Well, either way, let's all go Google.
How did none of us get
let's all Google Black
what the
Orifice
hell is
so
Black
we can download
Orifice.
It. Yeah. Clearly, Keith
hey,
and I.
Hey, a Google image, everybody.
Clearly, Keith and I are the responsible sounding ones, which means that they just don't know.
They just do not know.
They don't know.
Yeah, I believe. Let me check with Ben Lang, but I'm pretty sure he said tiebreak, and that's kind of their official one. So,
all right.
I would imagine it's them.
I sent the message.
Sweet. All right. Okay.
We've gone too far now.
Well, I would have definitely said where you're definitely using Black Orifice, that's for sure.
Perfect.
I'm in next, such a bad place right now.
Next year, can
you're
we
thinking
make,
about Black Orifices?
No, I was going to transition us to the $20 bill, and I'm like, I can't even do that.
If,
oh, Jesus. Oh, my.
Yeah, if, I'm just like.
You're a monster.
I said that, right? I was like, I cannot believe.
If,
yeah.
Crump, is this your edit week? For
yeah.
If X-Wing,
I did last week.
If X-Wing is successful enough at the con, we should make Buffalo Wild X-Wing shirts next year.
Buffalo Y-Wing.
I think Lance has it correct. Buffalo Y-Wing.
Yeah, nailed it. But the game's called X-Wing.
I already have X-Wing shirts in the works.
Is it that?
It's not Buffalo Y-Wing.
Just throw it right in the trash and do that.
It should be Buffalo Y-Wing. And then you have like the Buffalo, but it's just like an actual Y-Wing with like wings on its back.
It's perfect.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's a Buffalo with Ys as wings.
It's going to say fly. It's going to say fly casual, and it's going to have Han and Chewie all chibied up. Which is going to be pretty adorable.
Mm-hmm. Disney's not going to come after you for that one.
Mm-hmm.
We're too small.
Yeah.
No one's too small for Disney, I don't think.
I mean, they will squish us like a bug, but we're not we're not going to sell it.
That's probably...
just for personal use.
Yeah, that's probably a good step of the way there. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, we got a lot of stuff to talk about this week if we want to jump right in.
We do.
What number?
263. Somebody intro us. Let's go.